Have you ever had a dream that you wanted him to do you so much you could do anything?
You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Win, survive.
Not so easy to survive. Still war here.
Survive a war. You gotta become war.
That why they pick you? Because you like to fight?
I'm expendable.
Expendable? What mean expendable?
Like if someone invites you to a party and you don't show up, it doesn't really matter.
If you're looking to get the job done, be it murder or rescuing ladies, you cannot do better than old guys who were popular back in the 80s. Yes, old or prematurely bald, the fearless fighting force that's called the Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
Our careers were basically over, every one of us starring in shit. Then one man came along with a vision, and voila, just like that, it's a hit. So no more straight to DVD, 'cause I got you and you got me.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
PG-13 is for pussies.
PG-13 is for pussies.
The entire world turned against me,
against you,
'cause I went and had sex with the maid. I'm in desperate need of redemption. So let me help with your latest crusade. I'll re-establish who I am when we take down Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You all look good after this, man.
Thanks, man.
So, ready?
Yeah.
It's me. So.
Oh, you fucker! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just your job.
You huh? Stop
now? No, 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 no. That's okay. Let's do another.
That one little patch looks sexy, though.
Does it look good?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Ooh.
It looks man-tastic.
Ooh. Okay. Whew, wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
You got it.
Wow.
The first one's the only one that
Yeah, well, those hairs are pretty deep. Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Itch. Me.
God! Suck a mother... You shit out! Oh, I hate you! I hate you so much! You. That one hurt! That one hurt just as much as the first one!
That's great, man!
Man!
One, two, three!
Ah! Oh. don't swear this much.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take. All right, I'll see y'all one.
Jay?
Be tough, Andy. You got it.
Where did Jay go?
He went to throw up.
Ready?
Yep. Sweaty pie hole! Como se llama? No! Kelly Clarkson! Ah! No! Oh, wow! I hate you! I hate you! Stop smiling, you jerk!
You pussy.
Oh, God. What's next? No, oh, you're doing the nipple.
Oh, not the nipple. Come
not
on.
Not the nipple.
Not the nipple.
Not the nipple.
Please, Cal, hold my hand.
Are you kidding me, man?
Hold my goddamn hand, man.
One, two, three.
Down, ah! Oh, nipple. Oh, Mika, you should burn in hell. Okay. All right. No, seriously. I think I'm done. Ooh, I think we're done. I think that's good. Ooh. You know what, guys? This is not a good look for me.
Okay, here's the deal. When life gives you lemons, just say fuck the lemons and bail.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Shit. I was gonna say, are you there?
Oh my god, do you know what happened? Goddamn dog. The goddamn dog! She ripped everything out, even the recorder.
She do that?
It's Steven's fault. I'm going to blame Steven.
Because Steven? Whenever he shows up, the dog goes crazy.
Yes.
She went ape shit.
And somehow she got a hold of one wire, and then it all gets tangled up. And I'm like, shit! And I'm like grabbing everything. The wires are all disarray. But you can.
Goddamn dog needs to go in its house. Go in your house.
Go to your home.
Don't you like your home?
It's just, she just spazzes out when she sees Steven. But who doesn't? Hey, Steven, how's it going?
I know I always do.
That was funny because I was just like, holy shit, no! That was like the worst timing ever! But, hey everyone, it's time for Nowhere on Mulberry. I am Zed Yestrom. Welcome to the show. Also here with me is Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing great.
And Mulberry's
not plugged in.
Huh?
Steven's not plugged in. I hear him off of your mic.
Sorry.
No, the...
Oh, okay.
I didn't get adjusted.
Let's try that again, shall we? We have here Steven, the pop culture zealot.
I think you need to oil this machine. It's freaking rusty.
No shit. Hello, Steven. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thanks.
With a live mic. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, that's me. You know, I'm excellent.
It's so funny when shit like that happens, though. Because you're all prepared, and then all of a sudden, oh, shit, and it's just like, and I'm like, what part of the intro are we in? Shit, and I'm like trying to hook it up, but we're back, we're here, we're back in Mulberry, welcome guys, everyone in the chat room, hello, we got a bunch of people in there, Lee, Andy, Yudanasha,
there was
Zell,
more, it dropped out really fast,
Don like, Chet, Andy Sims, a couple of, an anonymous person. But thanks, everybody.
It's okay. You can view.
Now, hey, Bill, what's cool is last night we all went to see the same movie, right?
We did. At the live. Same, beamed
we
across
up at the same
world.
Time. Yeah. We went to Riff Tracks Manos, The Hands of Fate.
I was laughing so hard. At the end of the night, my friend Vicky and I were walking out, and we were both hoarse, and like our jaws and stomach hurt. We were exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I honestly like the shorts that come on before the movie.
Oh my god, those shorts were hilarious. But you know, I was laughing hard. I knew I was in for a painful evening. At the beginning, those slides they do. were absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, like trivia, like
the
phony
movie
trivia,
like celebrities are just like us, and ones I can't remember any of them now, but they were hilarious.
Yeah, apparently Severn took some video of some of it.
Oh, good. I saw there were some people there. It was funny. We arrived early enough that when we got there, all we saw was the screen for the desktop for a Windows computer running Windows 95, apparently.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, I was like, wow, this is dated. We were in a really old, shitty theater on the north side of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It was like one bought out by Rave Motion Pictures, but it wasn't updated. They had some great games in the lobby, though.
We keep going to the Fossil Creek Theater that's really dated now.
Yeah.
And I go there because Laura and Severin go halfway there, so I meet them there. But such a shitty theater.
You
now.
Know what I loved about this old theater, though? It had those old-style plush leather seats that, like, rock.
Uh-huh.
They're not those big stadium-style ones. And it was so comfortable. I was like, man, if the stadium had these kind that you squish into them and you can rock a little bit. And it's just really nice seats for such an old shitty theater.
It was funny because my dad, this is the first Riff Trax things he's gone to. And
He did go?
Yeah. But the first thing he said to me was so dad-like. He goes, what was he like? $12.50 for this shit?
I can't believe we paid $12.50.
I was waiting for you to say, are they going to talk throughout the entire movie?
Yeah, that would have been good. He's like, $12.50 for this shit? And I was like, well, Dad, never mind.
Live event. It's, you know, it's logistics. People need to be paid.
But he started laughing and stuff, so he loosened up.
Yeah, well, it's... Just the slides and then the shorts. The shorts were – I was just stupefied by the Norman short, the Welcome Home Norman.
Yeah.
Like normally like a short is an educational short. I was just – I like leaned over to my friend. I was like, what the hell was the point of that?
Yeah, who made this and why?
Yeah, just to show someone is just absolutely miserable.
Were you picturing that as me lost looking for my car that day?
I did picture Stephen, your life.
As I,
do you normally keep Chanel in your
no sir
briefcase and then over it?
No, I don't leave things on top of my car. So
okay,
that's good. That's
yeah, and
very
the
cylinders, good.
The at your fingertip cylinder short was what? Just so it was so drawn out. It was I just couldn't believe how long. It's like they had to show every step of making the penis head horse.
Yeah. Well, as I watch those Riff Trax live events, I start to think, man, it'd be so cool to do something like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I could tell their energy was a little weird at times. Like, well, what? Okay, let's get into this. You know you know what I'm saying?
They were a little rusty.
The last when we went to Jack the Giant Killer, the picture dropped out several times, and it started to get really annoying. Like a almost like rain fade on a satellite or something.
That's well, you know what? I don't know if it was satellite or because if they're using the computer, I was thinking maybe this is beamed on the internet, like a private feed
right.
You have to log into.
Yeah, I wonder what it was.
Because I don't think they could do. I think satellite would be too expensive.
Because the picture's not that good, you know.
No, it's not. In fact, you can sometimes see compression artifacts.
Yeah, but I guess it doesn't matter though.
I'm worried about that because I really want to go see Singing in the Rain this coming Wednesday because I missed it the first time around and it's one of those Fathom events and I wondered
that too. Like,
wondering if the picture.
Looks
like this,
shit.
They're like all talking about how it's the remastered and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it going to look good?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it? Are they showing it in the theater or are they broadcasting it? Because don't they have this new Blu-ray of Singing in the Rain? Maybe we should just watch that.
Like, I know a lot of time now, movies are actually delivered digitally. Like,
right.
They put in a hard drive that's coded, and it's downloaded to the hard drive. So, like, that's how they get the movies that are new releases. Like, they don't, you know, they don't send out the film canisters anymore. Projectionists don't have to put the film together, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. I was thinking about watching Singing in the Rain with my dad, because he's like, oh, you'll love it. I'm like, okay, I'll check it out.
I'm really excited. When I saw that preview before it started, that they were redoing the Singing in the Rain, I was like, yeah! Like, I actually said yeah out loud because I was so mad that I missed it the last time.
Did everyone else jump up? Yeah!
There was a couple oohs and ahs. The thing that got the big oohs and ahs was the thing that's coming up this fall where they're doing, like, the birds and what else? To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right.
And they're doing, there's like four films they're doing that I was like, I'm definitely going to see that. I think that's really cool to show older films in the theater. I just wish it was like 35 millimeter or, you know, of course, if I had my druthers, you know, 70 millimeter. But that's just not happening anymore. None of these multiplexes have film projection anymore.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll even notice. Like, I do like the idea of clean picture. I mean, I don't really mind film grain or anything like that. But I mean, yeah, like a digital transfer that won't get scratches on it and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
Right. I think that's the biggest problem with film is that whenever you go to – I think the last movie I saw that was film was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, because I remember it had those digital imprints every right. once in a while that like code the film. So if you're – you know, have a camera and you're going to pirate it and put it online, they can right. identify it by theater, by the print.
Oh yeah, you see those where the cigarette burns, but now it's like that little like four dots.
Yeah,
or something.
Like a little like little dots, like arranged in a weird code. Yeah, but yeah, and I think that's the biggest problem with film. I mean, people have a love affair with film, but I don't think it's that important anymore. I think I like the digital picture because it is cleaner. Yeah, like, I don't see any of the like. The old stuff, like how it used to have like rainbow effects and stuff like that. Yeah. If you moved your head too fast,
I don't mind if a movie films on film, but I like that they show it digitally. That's what I'm saying. I don't care how the director makes it, but I like it shown digitally. You know what I mean?
Because no matter if you go a week after it came out, it's not going to be all scratched up.
Yeah, it'll be like pristine, as they say.
Blu-ray in.
I'm so glad Baby doesn't have her collar on. Now,
Andy in the chat room said he had a film burn in the projector during viewing once. I remember I went to see Dumb and Dumber with my friend Tim White during high school, and it was right near the end, and it just did that film burn.
Mm-hmm.
And we just looked at each other like, was that part of the movie? Then we realized it wasn't when the lights came up and sat there for 30 minutes.
I still remember this. You want to know when it happened to me? And it's a movie I wanted to watch so bad, and it was right in the middle of the movie. Lethal Weapon.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's ever happened to me.
Oh, man. It was like, and everyone goes,
it starts like jittering, and then it just,
it was like a collective groan from the audience. Oh, no.
I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all.
Yeah, and so I remember we got our they didn't even fix it or anything. They just gave us a refund, and I was like, I want to watch the movie.
That's what happened to us. There's no way for them to fix that.
Yeah, you're just screwed, and you have to go home. And I was so pissed, and saw it a couple of nights later, I believe. But
then the next people that go to see the movie miss an entire scene.
And I'll never forget this. I went with like my friend Walter and Keith and Leonard and all those, and we were going to the movies, and they're like, "Dude, we want to see Dream Warriors." And I go, "No, I'm telling you, I've seen the first part of Lethal Weapon. You guys are gonna love it. It's badass. It's awesome. We gotta go see this. We want to see Dream Warriors." And I was like,
"No, you
don't. Fuck your Dream Warriors. We're gonna go see Lethal Weapon." And they're like, "Fine, let's go." And we went to see Lethal Weapon, and of course they're like, "Oh, they've completely forgot about Dream Warriors." But
man, I wish I could have saw Lethal Weapon in the theater.
Goddamn Christmas!
Yeah, it was goddamn Christmas, Bill.
I always watch Lethal Weapon on Christmas. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard.
Oh yeah, you know it.
Lorik, Prince of Elves, Demon Be Gone.
Yeah, later on, I'd see Dream Warriors on VHS later on.
Yeah, that's a VHS blockbuster release.
And if I told that story to one of those guys now, they'd be like, "That's not true. I wanted to see Lethal Weapon." No, you didn't, bitch. You wanted to see Dream Warriors.
Was Dream Warriors the one where like the guy got the spider in his ear.
That's why we talk about that in the friggin' best of, Bill.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
I just remember that's the thing that freaked me out the most about the movie.
In the best of Nowhere in Mulberry, go back and listen to that because you asked that same question.
Yeah, I can't remember. There's so many of those stupid movies.
It's like the fifth one that has that part.
Okay.
I have the
original set that came out of them, and I never watched them.
Remember,
all.
It was in the third one. It had the guy who never talked; he was mute.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it had the wizard master. It had the girl who was bad and beautiful, and it had the black dude, the fat black dude who was strong.
Yeah,
it was
that's
like
right.
circus freak strong or something.
The strong man.
Yeah, but it's so funny, Bill. And that I've been like, I will like fall asleep to the best of Nowhere in Mulberry sometimes. Even just like, I'll listen to this again. And I've heard that conversation so many times.
I'm doomed to repeat conversations. I have such a bad memory.
No, but there's so many times we do repeat conversations. It's funny. We'll start talking about something. I'm like, wait a second. We've talked about this a million times.
I know we've said this before,
but it always happens. Hey, who cares, right? It's like we're in this time loop, but as long as we're enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, everyone else can deal with our repeats.
They're like, God, is this a rerun of the podcast? What's going on?
Did they stop doing the live show?
We just clipped together old episodes, piece it together.
We had a film burn, and we had to splice in an old part.
It's so funny how she never gets tired. Look at the way her head is twisted. I'm ready for baby to snap her own neck and then just fall to the ground. Now, we have some voicemail.
We didn't talk about how good Manos was, though.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
And how obvious... Did you notice how obvious how bad the dubbing was on the big screen? Because you could see the mouse moving more.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like they didn't even try to blend the dubbing into the mouth movement.
I honestly miss some of the Joel MST jokes, you know, that I remember.
Oh, yeah. So did I. Like, I the whole attitude of, like, Trace Beaulieu's Crow and the I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
But always the little girl's holding the dog. It's like, his heartbeat's irregular.
Yeah. I think the MST3K was much cleverer. I think the main problem with Riff Tracks right now is those three aren't doing the main work anymore. They have other writers doing it, and then they go over it and go,
no way.
Okay, this is good. Let's change this. Let's change that.
Wow. So they
like there was even there was an article that Bill Corbett did, or no, he didn't in Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and they asked him about the material in the Manos riff, and they said that they actually had their writers go back and watch the Mystery Science Theater so that they wouldn't anything that was similar.
Right. Did they ever reference anything? I wouldn't.
The only thing I remembered was they referenced a lot of Seinfeld. Like, there was a couple times, The Master of My Domain, stuff like that. The only thing
dance contest together.
Yeah, the only thing that was similar was the I'm Not Touching You. Because whenever Torgo was getting killed, they go, I'm not touching him to death.
Right.
So
my dad's favorite
that's
is like,
the only thing that sound familiar.
When the master says to Torgo, where's your theme music now? Or something like, my dad lost it. He was like, that's the best line all night.
And then, of course, just when Torgo runs away with the flaming missing hand.
That is gold.
I mean, just the way he runs away, I just lost it. And I never noticed, I was talking to my friend Vicky, that I never noticed how many long, awkward pauses there are in Manos. Like,
I did.
Oh. I honestly think that the MST3K version might have been a little edited of those.
It might have, yeah.
Because you know, there were some shots that just went on and on.
Broadcasting time.
I mean, the 30 seconds it took him to stand up.
At the end had me in tears. I thought that was genius. I could have done without the song, but the timer was
that
hilarious.
That stuff with the Manos 2 people, not funny. None of it was.
Not funny. It's like, don't even bother.
Yeah,
there's
horrible.
A reason why Manos is a cult classic. We do not need a Manos 2.
Yeah, that's... my dad and I were talking about it. It's like... when a movie isn't trying to be bad and they just make it and it's horrible, then it can be entertaining. But if you set out to make a bad movie, it doesn't work. It just doesn't.
It's like Samurai Cop, Birdemic, The Room, or, you know, they're awful movies that the makers actually thought they were doing something great.
Right.
And that's
they may lie later on and go, oh, no, we were just playing around.
Likewise, though, the guy that did The Room says it's a black comedy.
Right.
It's like, no, it's
but
not.
But we all know
it's
the truth. Terrible. But, like, those guys who were doing the Manos thing, it was like, no, just stop. And I wasn't sure why the Riff Trax guys were giving them the time of day.
Maybe I didn't get that either. Like, why would they even allow them, like, the Torgo's Pizza bit? That was terrible.
It wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit on MST where it goes on too long, you know? Yeah. Like, one of their in-between deals. It's like, just go to the riffing. You could have had another short
another
you ripped
shorts.
In this time.
another short, yeah. But I'm looking for, I think tomorrow I'm going to take a trip to the theater and go see The Expendables 2 and maybe take in Paranorman.
I really, really want to see Paranorman.
Yeah, it just, everything I see about Paranorman just looks like it's like my kind of movie, like the whole setup. The loner, the kid that's the outcast, he sees
from the very first
everyone makes fun of him because of it.
From the very first trailer I saw, I was like, oh, this movie's for me. I know I got to see this. And yeah, I'd like to see Expendables 2 just as like a kick-ass shoot-em-up kind of movie, but I don't expect it to be that good.
I'm going in with like, I'm very, very apprehensive, but I'm going in a way that the first one I did not like at all because it was just too, it got too heavy into its own story. Like, there were too many Angel Batista from Dexter didn't need to be there at all. Just like that,
it's a hit. I love that song, though.
Like, if it was just Eric Roberts had taken over that Island Nation, it would have been great.
Right.
You know, we'll not need Angel Batista. We need to eradicate this American disease.
Right. But I did love all of the bloody action, though.
Yes. It's
like, if we
and
go
of
back.
Of course, that shotgun, that automatic shotgun that
Terry just ridiculous. And I remember, you know, my dad loves talking about how much he hates The Expendables, how it's just awful. And, you know, there are scenes that fall way flat in the movie, but
they need to give that Randy Couture an entire scene to talk about his goddamn cauliflower ear. G13
is for pussy. I love that song so much. When I watched this Expendables, the musical thing, a couple weeks ago, it's been stuck in my head for weeks.
Wasn't there a whole rumor that it was going to be PG-13 because Chuck Norris wouldn't appear in it if it wasn't?
It's the internet is all bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all that crap. It's just like, okay, if we want to go to now, I was telling Kane Shoddy Gray when he goes, Jason, did you see this about Russell Crowe being the gunslinger? And I was like, I don't even pay attention to that. Remember when Javier Bardem was going to be and people wasted oxygen talking about it? It's not going to happen. Just
wait till it happens.
Wait till it happens. That's the way I feel.
I avoid sites like Slash Film and all that stuff. If I want entertainment news, I'll go to, like, even though I don't like the Nikki Fink site that is it Deadline Hollywood?
Yeah.
You know, at least she only covers confirmed stories.
I'm expendable.
And then there's, like, First Showing. Even though I guess that Alex Billington is, like, hated within the blogger sphere.
That's the one I look at every day.
Yeah, because it has trailers. It has stuff that's actually happening.
Yeah. Every one of those sites, come on, they all show the same shit. It's all... Yeah. Screenshot of Iron Man, and it's just like one.
Oh my
picture.
God, he injured his ankle. There's gonna be a delay. Holy
but you see
shit!
The same story all day long in different places, and that's just
one
what it is,
from
you
the
know.
Other.
But
it's like it's not even gonna matter. They'll make the release date. What helps us in knowing that Robert Downey Jr. injured his ankle in a stunt?
But it's like it's. Our movie geeks politics or soap operas or sports. It's just shit to talk about, I guess, you know. But sometimes
it gets tiresome.
It's you want to be the first one to tell the story.
You have to pick and choose what to ignore. Like, am I going to get fired up over this today or no, I'm going to ignore this, but I'm going to talk about this. That's what it is.
Yeah, I've been in a general ignore mode entirely.
Right.
You just have a really hard time with, lately, in general, the whole movie geekdom obsession thing. Like, it annoys me more than, like, I used to be all into it, and I would argue about shit for hours. Like, the most
expensive shit.
And now it's just, I've got too much stuff in my own life to waste time on that.
Well, you shouldn't hold it against someone who's into
something. I'm not holding it against anyone. I'm not. I don't want to sound condescending.
I have the same problem, okay, with how people appreciate things. And it's great that someone appreciates, like, say, Harry Knowles, the way he appreciates Jaws more than me.
He knows more about everything than anyone else. You should know that by now.
He owns more memorabilia and all that stuff of Jaws. In his latest episode, he shows you how much Jaws stuff he has. And
you're not a real fan of Jaws unless you have, like, you know, the actual replica or you know the name of Jaws.
And I know for a fact that Steven, the guy sitting next to me, is the world's biggest Jaws fan. And you don't own any of the movie's memorabilia, do you? You don't need to.
No.
You don't need to show anybody that shit. And
he has Robert Shaw's leg in his freezer.
Steven has the machete that he's holding in the scene where he gets eaten, but you never really see it. Like, it's
stuck on that, Harry Knowles.
Like, all of a sudden, the machete's in the shark, and then it's not anymore.
I've got an anchor from the Orca.
Nice.
No one would know that.
But what it is people appreciate things in different ways, and sometimes the way someone appreciates something annoys the living shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Harry, that's a good example.
Harry is the ultimate example.
Right.
I know we bitch about him on almost every show now, but it's just he makes it so easy with these shows.
He's a great example of what I'm trying to talk about, you know, the douche meter, you know. And, you know, I remember working with this dude. I don't know if you knew this. You were a trainer at the time, but we were talking about Star Wars, just kind of like however we do in kind of a sarcastic tone or whatever. But we were enjoying what we were talking about. And he's like, hey, you guys like Star Wars? Hey, I got like 300 figures and stuff. And he started talking about the toys he had. And we were just kind of standing, staring at him. And we weren't being snobs or anything. But I was just like, he likes Star Wars way more than I do.
We went to the convention. Those people like it way more than we do. I guess what I wanted to say is it's
nice that they can appreciate it on that level. I just don't understand the getting so involved in that minutia.
Well, that's we're going to talk about a show later called Collection Intervention, but it's like when you take it to a degree where I can't...
It's insanity.
Well, I can no longer participate.
It becomes a part of your personality.
Yeah, but I can't participate anymore because I don't have any of that stuff. And I'm just like, you know. And I can... If you were a collector and you hung out with other collectors and you talked about your new get, like how you got it or whatever, that's cool. That's cool. But for someone who doesn't have any of that shit, it's just like I'm standing there like... Oh, that's neat, but can we go back to just talking about the movie?
Like, for me, I love collecting old video game systems. All the stuff I couldn't have as a kid that I can now.
Right.
Because I have expendable cash, or had expendable cash at one point. And, you know, I collect them, but it's not part of me that that's all I do or all I want to talk about, or I actually go to flea markets looking for shit. You know, if I see something or if I get the bug to go to like a used game store or something, I will, or on eBay, but it's not, you know, that's not the only thing I want to talk about. Like, I don't want to go, hey, man, I just found this brand new box TurboGrafx-16.
Here's a good example also. Everyone on, say, like on Facebook, I figure that's what we're talking about, is that you're starting a conversation and see who joins in, you know? Mm-hmm. God damn it, Steven.
What the hell is that sound?
That's Mr. Bill. The Mr. Bill doll.
I was trying so hard not to have it squish the button.
But here's an example. Like, you choose to get involved in the conversation or not. And I gave one of our listeners a hard time today because
oh my God, did you ever? I was cracking up.
I mentioned that I wanted to see, really wanted to see Paranorman. And I, who was it, Kevin Molt? And I'm sorry, Kevin, but I was just like, you said something like, whatever he said sounded negative.
Oh man, I hope you're being sarcastic because everything I've seen of that looks horrible.
Yeah, it's not going to be good, but enjoy yourself or whatever. And I was like, what? And then I made it. He goes, it looks so bad. And I go, like the power glove? Like, you know, it's so bad.
Then it's awesome.
Yeah. And then I was like, who are you and why are you on my friends list? Like, why are you commenting on this shit? I was just saying I wanted to see.
It gets like that. You know, I've been trimming my friends list of people that I never talk to, and I don't want to offend anybody. But
it's also just text, and sometimes you don't know how to take the text. Basically, Facebook
we've been through that a million times.
It's ruining how we communicate, because I'll read something somebody says, and you can either take it as positive or negative. I like to think positive all the time, but something about the way he worded that, I was like, who the hell is this guy? Why is he commenting on this? Leave me alone! You know, it's just like...
Yeah.
But I need to, you know, sometimes people just need to chill out, you know?
Andy Sims had a good point in that, you know, why jump on something like that so soon? Like, at least judge it. Have some merit on your judgment, you know?
Yeah. But it was like... You know, he said, I don't usually comment. It's like, why are you choosing now to do it?
And why are you choosing now to be a dick about it?
Well,
maybe he wasn't being a dick. It just came across dickish.
Well, it could be like, say, you know, it could be anything. Like, Steven says, I'm going to go see Expendables 2. And we're like, it's going to suck. Save your money.
Good luck with that. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Yeah, exactly. What? But I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. But all I know is this, Bill. Do you ever have a dream?
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
I love that kid.
That kid is freaking genius.
When you posted that video, it's just kind of thing where you have to keep watching it because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's you laugh and yet you feel so horrible.
He got a little ahead of himself.
Can't
what he was
put
reading.
The thought together.
Yeah,
it's like he knows exactly what he wants to say, but it just can't come out.
Oh, in the background, Bill, it's the dumbest part of Cowboys and Aliens, where the kid hides in the rock and
entire movie?
The alien opens its chest and has the little arms come out. Do you remember that? Exposing its heart, and the kid's like, oh, hey, I'll stab it.
How'd you shoot that pulsing thing?
All right, we have a voicemail. This one from Adam. Let's check it out.
Hey, I just... Let's start that over. What's up, Noah Mulberry? It's Adam from the Bay Area. Just a quick voicemail here. I wanted to give you guys some feedback. I'm listening to the Best of NIMH. One thing I wanted to say was that I listened to the Best of when you guys were talking about the chicken and the guy that was really upset because the library was getting... closed down. Well, what are you kidding? That guy. I listened to that on my camping trip that I just took, and I laughed my rear end off, and it took every bit of power that was within my body to not wake my wife up while I was cracking up at it as we were going to sleep. So that, and then also I'm about 30 minutes in on it right now, and I just hear this discussion about Thanksgiving between Jason and Bill, and Jason says, Bill, I would love to taste your stuffing. And then the way that it sounded, Jason kind of paused. And then Jason says, I think that kind of sounded gay. And then Bill was just really hesitant to answer, like, yeah, I don't know what to say to that. Hey, it made me crack up, so I thought I'd let you guys know. All right, take it easy.
Today, Junior?
Well, thank you, brah. Thanks, Adam. You know, in hindsight, I never should have said gay because that's like too obvious. Like when you're
Know what you say
when you're saying something like it's almost like revealing too much. Like people get it. You don't have to say gay, Jason. People get it. You know, it's like saying too much or explaining a joke or something. Do you know what I mean?
It's like saying it makes me crave a man's genitals.
What that? Mean expendable?
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what you're talking about there.
Sounds like a clip to me.
No!
It looks mantastic.
Use that.
Fuck me in the asshole! Okay. All right. No, seriously. I think I'm done. Ooh, I think we're done. I think that's good.
All right, we've got another voicemail, this one from Mike, and I have to tell Mike something, and we love Mike, don't we?
Awesome.
He sent me a three-part voicemail talking about The Dark Knight Rises.
And just strictly about it?
Yes, it went on and on and on, and I have nothing against you, pal, but we're done with that subject.
Yeah, we can't get back into that.
We are done.
That is a deep, dark chasm of despair.
Wow-wee!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it goes on and on and on, and that's cool, dude, but if we would have had it that week on the show, it would have been fine, you know? But I chose one part of your voicemail for us to check out, and no offense to you, Mike, you know we love you, but no.
You know what? Send me the voicemails and I'll listen to them.
Oh, no, you don't need to listen to him.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, Mike.
I'm kidding, Mike. Yeah, I'll forward it to you. But let's go ahead and check this out. All right.
Hey, guys. It's Mike from Ireland here. Finally managing to send a voicemail since I managed to lose the ones I recorded in America. Hey, I hope you're doing a show, I suppose. Sorry, I'm feeling a bit tired because I've returned to Ireland to find that my sewerage is blocked and it's been a rough road trying to fix it. But you don't care about that. What do we care about?
Okay. Probably smells.
I was in Florida for 4 weeks. I was in Boston for 1 week. And now I'm back in Ireland. Managed to download your episodes and listen. As Jason already knows, I was quite slightly kind of amused / slightly concerned about your Dark Knight Rises episode, seeing as it was a bit like the audio equivalent of Jason running into a wall when he heard Ben's opinion on the film. That was something else. But, yeah. Anyway, I really like Batman Begins. I was less interested in Dark Knight, so the fact that, you know, this is the third film in a trilogy, and, you know, they
is
tend to be a bit
running
meh.
Through the airport?
But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan generally. I did enjoy Amazing Spider-Man, though, I have to say, and I only very reluctantly went to it, just sort of having nothing else to see. But yeah, I also thought Brave was like meh, just it was there and it happened. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm very kind of at the moment, kind of a whole home atmosphere. But yeah, I hope you guys are back. I hope you got a recording show tonight. Looking forward to hearing it. I really enjoyed the shows that you actually did record over the summer, even if the Dark Knight Rises episode was almost like a show getting like a life-threatening wound halfway through, which I wasn't sure whether we were going to actually limp through it. But it actually, listening back to it, it's some of it's kind of entertaining, and Jason got very amusing actually when he got upset, you know. Dark Knight Rises, delays it, 0 stars. Really, really, really makes me laugh very hard. Anyway, yeah, this is such a boring voicemail. I'm so sorry. And I recorded really cool ones in the beach and stuff like that. And Rick is probably recording ones in Spanish and stuff like that on his European tour. So, yeah, how dull. But hey, I'm trying to keep my voicemails. I keep saying, but hey, sorry. It's like I'm trying to be enthusiastic, but I'm actually really kind of down. But what I'm really hoping for is that you get lots of entertaining voicemails, and I'll stop this one now so that You've got more space for them because Bill gets antsy when there's too much voicemail on the show.
And yes, I do.
Yeah, I can kind of sympathize with them. So you think I'd shut up then. But Jesus, no, I just need to be going on. Anyway,
enjoy
the show, guys. Looking forward to hearing it. And, yep. Bye.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
Wow, Mike, I had no idea you were kind of down in the dumps, but I have this bit of kind of advice for you.
When life gives you lemons, just take the lemons and bail.
Exactly.
I wish I could remember the line from Portal 2 about lemons.
So there's about 20 minutes more of him talking about Batman, which is
cool.
Are
you 20 minutes?
But it's cool, man. But, dude, Dark Knight Rises is so, like, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks. How long ago was that? Now we're on to other things, which we'll talk about in entertainment soon. But we have one more voicemail, this one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys.
Who the hell is he?
Guess where I am.
Train station.
I am at Dubai. Gotta stop over in Dubai for a while, so I thought I'd send you a quick voicemail. And give some reviews of some of the...
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Actually watched The Avengers and The Dark Knight. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm sick of being on the plane, though. Yeah, that blows. But, just had some random guy come up to me in the airport and ask me to be in a photo with him. It was a bit weird, and then he came back later with sunnies on because he wanted to look cooler. It was quite strange.
Anyway, now I'm off to Manchester.
And I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great show. Kisses. This was Rick from Dubai.
Well, thanks, Rick. That's cool how he's going on that huge trip, right?
Wait, did he say Dubai?
Yeah.
Dubai. Oh, I thought he said Jabbar.
No, Dubai.
Wow. He had a layover in Dubai. That's pretty crazy.
That's great, man.
That's really cool.
But who would want a picture?
Well, at least
Rick
he's been there. I never plan on going there.
It has that tower that looks like the Dark Tower there.
Yes, it does. That Tom Cruise ran on the outside
of. The Tom Cruise building. What is that place called? I used to know what it was called.
The Shabadoo. The Baba Ganoush.
Oh, my goddamn hand, man.
Oh, okay. All right, guys.
Now it's going to drive me crazy. Thanks.
What's the name of the building? Just call it the Dark Tower.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
All right, let's check out entertainment! Whee!
No, it's the Wiz Khalifa.
The Wiz Khalifa? That's what that thing is called?
No, it's like Burj Khalifa, but I like Wiz Khalifa better because he's some rapper.
Ah.
It looks fantastic.
Burj Khalifa, the Khalifa.
Now, we already talked about Paranorman came out today, which I'm really excited to see in 3D. Steven, we're going to go see that?
Yes.
And then we're going to go see Expendables afterwards,
Expendables.
Huh? Expendables. That's my favorite part.
Expendables.
When it shows Jet Li. And it's like, first it shows that what Terry Crews guy is like, Expendables. And then it shows Jet Li. He's like, Expendables.
I think that Terry Crews is on that Star Wars Strike show.
Right.
And I don't think he could swim. I think that was like the first thing was an amphibious assault or something, and they had to drop him from a helicopter into the water, and he couldn't swim. So
I was cracking up that Dean Cain is on the show.
Oh my god, it's so bad. I watched it because it was on, and I just didn't feel like changing the channel.
Well, did you see what happened to him in the second half of the show?
No.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
Yeah, he got speared by Mayan warriors.
That's one. I've never heard of that operation in the U.S. military before.
It was crazy. There's just some Mayan warriors there.
Did they travel through a Stargate?
I don't know.
What mean expendable?
I don't know what mean expendable. You know what Rambo was on the other night and I was watching it?
That girl is so pretty.
She's gorgeous. And they made her talk really stupid in the movie. Yeah.
I talk stupid, Rambo.
What mean expendable, Rambo? It's like, come on. She could say that even though she was Vietnamese. Give me a break.
I can't believe they didn't go, cut, stop.
Expendable.
But I was cracking up over how... it was so funny. I always forget he's in it, but Kreese from The Karate Kid is in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's the dickhead who, you know.
He's dickhead in everything. Can you name one movie he was in where he wasn't the dickhead?
No, I can't, but I just like, hey, it's Kreese! Hey, he's in Rambo.
What is that guy's name?
I forget. And Kreese.
I'm looking it up because I gotta know his name.
Doesn't really matter.
Yes, he does. He's not expendable.
You know what? While you're looking that up, I really want to see this new movie called Robot and Frank.
Martin Cove,
that's it. I sent you a link to that, Bill. Robot and Frank.
Got it. Robot and Frank?
Yeah, have you read watched the trailer for it?
No.
It's like kind of a little bit in the future. And is there...
Oh, it's the Frank Langella movie.
Yes.
I do want to see that.
His kids don't know what to do with them, and they don't want to put him in a home or something. And he's an ex-cat burglar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired, and he kind of doesn't have much to live for. They get him a robot to take care of him, kind of like be his friend. And he befriends the robot. And then him and the robot start planning a heist.
Oh, my God.
It looks awesome. And it's low budget. And Peter Sarsgaard, I believe, he does the voice of the robot.
And I'm sure it's going to end terribly sad.
Okay. All right. No, seriously. I think I'm done.
No.
It's good.
It's going to be good. Yeah, either the old man or the robot. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, so one of them die and they're alone.
But I've got to see it because it looks really cool.
And, man, I'm going to have to look around. That's the other thing. I still haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom, and I have to go into Columbus to see it. So I'm going to have to look and see if Robot and Frank is somewhere
soon. Hoping it comes on pay-per-view or something because I don't know where it's showing either.
No, it won't. See, that's the bad thing. If something's being released by, like, the Mark Cuban's company, like Magnet or Magnolia Films or something like that, you can only see it on video on demand, or some nights they'll show it on HDNet Movies, you know, for one night. And it makes it so much easier to see these independent films. But
right.
Whenever I think it's Samuel Goldwyn Films that's releasing it. So we won't see that for a while. I've never seen something from them on video on demand.
Ah, crap. So I'll have to find it somewhere. But I really want to see that.
Yeah, it came out today, actually, the 17th. So I'm sure it's in limited release somewhere.
I'll have to look it up. Steven, would you like to see that movie?
Yeah.
I'll Sounds see it. Interesting. It's probably the kind of movie we'll have to go to Dallas for, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to Dallas.
You don't want to go to Dallas.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, guys, oh, cool. It's I'll see it on September 7th. I have to wait until September to see it.
Oh, man, that's a long time, bro.
Dallas, it opens on the 31st at the Magnolia Theater.
Friggin' Magnolia. Come on.
No.
What do you guys say we check out What's on our TiVo? We have some shows to talk about.
Cool.
All right.
Woohoo! What's on our TiVo? Ah, yes. Bill, are you still watching Big Brother?
I'm so sorry, Jesus Christ. Big
Brother at all, Bill?
No, I bailed on it after two episodes. Just totally uninteresting people. I can't stand Mike Boogie. The Brittany with the wonky eye.
I got way less interested when Janelle got evicted.
See, I didn't even know she was evicted, so... There you go. There's no reason for me to watch it now.
She got evicted, and you know how they do the little video of them saying goodbye? Mike Boogie was like, hey, Janelle, guess what? It was all me, baby. That's the reason you're sitting there, and I'm still in here. and he holds up a Chilltown shirt, and he goes, Chilltown got you again. And he goes, you'll never win Big Brother or something like that. And she goes, he's such a dick. And they
He really is. That's all he has.
Yeah, she was like, he's a loser.
And like, he wears his geisha house shirt around. And it's just, sad. That is all he has. So that's what he gives his life to. It's so depressing.
But they did have Zingbot come into the...
The guy on Hamster Watch or girl. I don't know if it's a girl or guy that runs Hamster Watch, but he always has or she always has the countdown to whenever they bring Zingbot in.
Right.
That's like that's when you know the season has gone to shit whenever they bring Zingbot in.
Right. And I was watching, you know, Emma is into Big Brother. She loves the competitions. We talked about that before. And
they're Double Dare.
Right, it's Double Dare with grown-ups. So I was watching Zingbot. Zingbot's voice is so goddamn annoying. But some of the zings were cracking me up, like that one chick, Danielle, who's obsessed with that guy, Shane. It disses her, and her face looks so pissed off. That was pretty funny that it like really made her mad. But it also disses Boogie for being old. So anyway, let's check this out. It's excruciating. Sorry. I apologize to everyone.
From Big Brother 12. I'm definitely excited to hear what the Zingbot has to say about all of my new housemates.
Ashley, your smile lights up the room.
Oh, Jesus.
Too bad it's the only thing about you that's bright.
Excuse me, Zingbot, but do you know how bright you have to be a spray tanner? A lot.
Yeah, okay.
My 5-year-old niece called. She wants her pink tank top back.
Real men wear pink. I'm comfortable with my sexuality. It goes good with my nice tan. And I think I rock it well.
Brittany, I have $500,000 to donate. Please tell me more about the charity you gave yours to. I think it was called...
Zoe's right. Exterminate.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a dolly.
The brigade jokes. Come on, Zingbot. It's been 2 years. I'm over it. Not bitter.
Joe, how does it feel to be the old man of the house?
Oh, exterminate
sorry,
the doctor.
I didn't see you there. Zing! Zing! Chemical engineering student, it's amazing how little chemistry you have with the lady.
Wow, this is so drawn out.
In common with a gossip magazine, you're both covered in bad ink.
He had that right, though. The chick with the tattoos.
Oh my god, yeah, it's
if you would stop stealing her hairdo.
I don't know who Little Orphan Annie is. I'm not as old as Boogie. Zing!
Danielle!
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I hear Shane's going to give you a special gift after the season. A restraining order.
Everybody got zing, but ooh, Danielle's was the worst. Hot in these streets, baby.
mean, whew, the Zingbot really got her good. Really good.
Zingbot! Dude!
Oh my gosh, no. I hate the freaking Zingbot.
The reason she was upset over that, because it's true.
Yeah.
Wow. That guy, right now...
Zingbot
think,
speaks the truth, even though it's painful to listen and wait for it.
Yeah.
Zing! Zing, yeah.
But the thing that annoys me is that Mike Boogie is still in power. Why?
Yeah, how is he still there?
It was so dumb how basically Janelle's whole team turned against her. And that gay guy, Will, turned against her, and now he's gone, and now they're putting up other members of her team, even though she's gone. It's just stupid how they all just follow along with whatever he wants.
A lot.
Yeah. What about Hell's Kitchen? You guys watching that?
Yep.
Yes. I'm barely hanging on, but I am watching it.
Did you see this last episode where they returned all the old runners-up contestants?
Yeah.
When that happened? Oh, damn it, Hulu.
Yeah,
I watched the most recent one.
Yeah, the most recent one, he brings every runner-up contestant to battle against the new ones, and they just smoke them because they're, like, as close to professionals you can get. They got all the way to the end, I guess. And they probably, whatever they do now has to do with the restaurant industry, I would think.
Yeah, they had a few mess-ups, but they didn't get...
Not too bad.
Too bad, yeah.
But here they are introducing them, and it's so funny how that guy, Russell, from last season, he's still just a dick, you know? I love this. Let's check it out. Oh, wait.
We got him.
I forgot about that. Provenza and that other girl. Provenza, he's the big dude. And then him and the girl who yells at the screen when she's in her... They go on a little jet ski thing, and she's in a bikini. And it's so funny how he's just, like, drooling over her in a bikini. And listen to this ridiculous music they play.
Yeah. What do we got here?
We jet ski up to this private little cove. Whoa, there's nobody else around. Like, we have our own private beach.
I'm starving.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah. Whoa, this is pretty cool. Yippee-ki-yay. Dana is in his bikini, and it's just this little bikini. I'm like, mwah, face bella bellissimo, Dana. Beautiful.
To our winning team.
Yes, cheers. Beautiful day.
Definitely.
Tonight, the final six will be working together for the first time, but they won't be the only chefs cooking in Hell's Kitchen.
You will be competing against another team. Take a look up there. All of these individuals, like you, have been chefs at Hell's Kitchen. These chefs not only earned their black jackets, they were all runners-up. From Hell's Kitchen 8, Russell.
How the flat the f*** are you?
That stays cooked perfectly.
Thank you, chef.
I chose the team that I wanted, and I thought they would help me win, and I'm going to definitely blackball you guys, because you guys f***ed me so royally.
Russell, good to see you. Good to see you, chef. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I remember Russell for sure. What a ass. I don't care what station he's on tonight. I hope it burns down. I hope he goes down harder than anybody on that team.
From Hell's Kitchen season 7, Jay.
Hey, where's Smurf? Smurf! Come in here!
I have two goals in Hell's Kitchen, and one is to win, and my second is to sleep with Holly.
Welcome
Good
back.
To see you, Chef.
Still supporting that blue hair. Good to see you. Huh?
I don't like Jay. Why do you have blue hair? Do you think it looks good? Because I'll tell you something. It doesn't.
From Hell's Kitchen 6, Kevin!
You're so full of wit this season, aren't they?
Man, I'm the cripple guy, but yet no one else...
So funny. Do you guys remember that guy? The bald guy. They show a clip where he does a little skip and his foot crunched and he goes, ah! It's so funny.
Keep up.
I have the lamb. I have the lamb.
The lamb's cooked perfectly.
Thank you, chef.
Kevin, great to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you, chef. Good to see you.
Kevin's a force to be reckoned with. You know, they're building a
dream team here. We gotta be on point. Like, we gotta step up our game.
From Hell's Kitchen 5, Paula.
Best dish by a landslide. Paula,
she was with
congratulations.
Dave. No, no,
that,
yeah, chef.
Is the best Wellington we've ever sent.
Thank you, chef.
Paula, good to see you, my darling. Welcome back.
Good to see you, Paula.
No, it was Dave.
I have so much respect for Paula. If things don't work out here in Hell's Kitchen, Paula, watch out. I'm coming to you for a job.
From Paula, watch out. Free. Bonnie.
You're cooking.
Lesbian that just screams you all the time.
You have surprised me the most.
Wellington's nicely cooked.
Thank you, chef.
Bonnie, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Hugs,
welcome back.
Thank you.
From Hell's Kitchen 2, Virginia.
You can't buy that palette. The pink grapefruit, the white bean puree, and the striped bass. Absolutely spot on.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Virginia. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Woo! Woo! Runners up, great to see you.
Huh? You too, chef.
Final six, you're up against some serious talents. They're here for a reason.
I think Russell
we're here to whip their ass. Somebody's going home.
You guys are all definitely going home, right? Don't be coming in here talking, running your mouth. Oh, somebody's going home. Yeah, somebody's going home. Your ass is going home tonight. You know, just like you did before, you're going home again.
I've never looked forward to a service more than this one, let me tell you.
I'm ready.
We're ready.
You went home last time, now you're going home again.
It's circle logic.
So basically, they get their asses kicked by those people.
Of course.
It's the worst bunch ever, because I don't even think they finish dinner services at all, do they?
Very rarely.
I think the girls finished one once.
Yeah, and just by accident. And some of them got sent out, too. Yeah, look at this. I got a little bead of blood here where baby bit me.
What you, did she like on purpose? Like go, I'm gonna bite you. Like
No, it's all play by. No, you were playing with her, and I had my hand close in the proximity.
Steven can't ignore her.
if I'm holding the little rope toy for her to pull on, that way she doesn't jump up on my lap or pull on the cable.
And I kind of did a like, hey baby, and it was like. And it just caught that tooth, and I got a little bead of blood there. Now I'm going to get rabies. Great. Is that how that works?
You've got her. She's got her shots.
Yeah. She's up to date, I believe.
I'm get rabies anyway. You guys don't understand. I had it already.
But now she's all hopped up on Jay.
Yo, pussy.
Huh?
What?
She's tasted my blood. Now she won't be able to stop. She wants to eat me.
In the middle of the night, your throat will be chewed out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Graphic?
Morbid.
Jesus.
Steven dream about.
Steven wants me dead.
I don't want to see that mind.
It's a little Cujo moment there.
It looks mantastic.
Yeah, that's mantastic. All right, we also have Top Chef Masters is back. Have you guys been watching that, huh?
Yes.
I didn't even... You told me it was on, and I was like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Top Chef Masters.
I tuned into the last episode, and it's like, I only recognize, like, one of these people.
No, I recognize Lorena Garcia. Remember, she was in the America's Most Fantastic Fast Food Restaurant.
I recognize one guy that's kind of like, he's got glasses and tattoos, and he's on Food Network once in a while with guy.
The guy named Art something, the gay guy, the older gay guy who, he was...
Oh, yeah, Art Smith, he was big. He lost a shitload of weight.
Yeah, he's been a judge, like, a lot of times on Top Chef.
Yeah, and, I think he's the White House chef now or something. Or
right. He was Oprah's like personal chef, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's when he was fat.
Yeah.
So he got away from Oprah and got skinny.
So him and Lorena Garcia are the hosts, or not the hosts, they're a team. And it's so funny when they all have to perform at the Grand Canyon. Perform. What am I talking about? They all have to cook at the Grand Canyon.
I see that lady, that Lorena Garcia. She has some sort of Taco Bell stuff now.
Yeah, she's like designed the taco salad of Taco Bell, Lorena Garcia.
Casablanca salad or something.
Yeah, when she starts talking, you lose track of what she's saying.
Yeah, it just the words run into one another.
And of course, this show is hosted by Curtis Stonebill, who we all love.
Steve Poops. Now she has a squeaky toy.
Yes, she has a squeaky toy.
That dog needs to be locked in another room.
You took a crap.
Yes, I did, just now. All right, let's check this out. And what's funny is Art and Lorena, they do too long an intro about how food is love and all this stuff, and the rest of the chefs are standing there with their food like...
How many times do we need to hear that stale, that cliche line?
Yeah, it's because they were talking to Native Americans, and they're trying to get mystical with them, and the Native Americans are like, just serve the food!
Did they go in a sweat lodge?
They're like, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Did you get ayahuasca or smoke the peace pipe?
For you, my friend. So let's check this out.
As chefs, we have to rely on the land for all of the ingredients that we depend on every day in our kitchens. You ready for your next challenge?
Yes.
You'll be working in teams of two to create one dish to serve family style for 20 members of the tribal council and our critics. And you'll be serving...
Wait, they're on Survivor?
...the edge of the stunning rim of the Grand Canyon West.
I've never been. Yeah. I've never been.
And don't worry, oh my God, I've never been!
You won't be traveling by helicopter.
Yeah! Helicopter!
I've never been in a helicopter. Takashi, are you going to be okay?
It's like nobody cares about your experiences. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Takashi Mike is on there, Bill.
Art and Lorena, why don't you tell us what you've made?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Food is about love. Food is about sharing. Food is spiritual. It connects us as people. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you take a little bit back with you.
We're all worried about our dishes getting cold.
We wanted to represent the love that we have for each other in our food.
And Lorena and
just like a Taco Bell.
So much time going about how food is love.
Food is about love, and we love each other since we started this journey together.
The rest of us just stand there going, hurry up, the food is getting cold, it's getting rained on.
To marry the wonderful quail that Art made, I made a pickling pear barbecue sauce with a coleslaw.
And then we put in a corn dressing.
With a little bit of peaches and mint.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Peaches and chefs, today we got served.
Oh, and I had to have this judge part, Bill, because we love James Oslin, don't we?
Oh, he is fabulous.
We love James Oslin. Let's listen to his little critiques.
Four incredible dishes. But unfortunately, the critics thought your two dishes were their least favorites. As you all know, Lorena has immunity in this challenge and cannot be eliminated.
Lorena, were you rushed when you were making the coleslaw?
I was. I wanted to make a lighter salad. I try with my knife skills to cut it as fine as possible, but we had absolutely no time.
That sauce, you did not waste a moment with that. I mean, eating it by the spoonful.
She did a beautiful job of it. I thought it had great depth and flavor. So the sauce, Lorena made it, but it also basted your quail. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I want to baste your quail.
Interesting.
Art, I really loved that quail, but mine was leathery.
Love that guy.
Did it occur to you at some point to split the quail, both for serving and for control?
I actually split some, but I was concerned that it would lose the presentation. I just wanted it to be pretty, you know.
I thought that your dish did look lovely. Unfortunately, there was a lot of the people at the lunch that found it really fiddly and hard to eat. Kerry, how did you feel about getting beef as your ingredient?
We had some real challenges with temperature and getting any sort of a sear on the beef to give any more additional characters.
For me, your dish, it was a tale of two sauces. There was that great, vibrant pea stew, but then there was that sauce that it separated a bit. I'm sorry, it was a bit of a turnoff.
Oh, you don't want to...
it was a tale of two sauces.
I love that guy. But the show has been a lot of fun because they're the little things they've had to do.
One, yeah, I forgot how much I love James Oslin.
Guys, they made him do, like in the second episode, or was it the first one? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But they made him do a buffet, and they were like, a buffet? Oh, my gosh. You know, like, put the food where it's just sitting there, you know.
But it needs to be presented.
But it was pretty cool stuff. Guys, what do you say we take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about collection intervention. Did you get to watch that, Bill?
No, I didn't because I couldn't find it. But I'm looking forward to talking about Hotel Hell.
Nice. We're going to do that afterwards. And here, right. I just thought of a funny baby story. You know, I got a dog story here. It was about 3 in the morning. You know, I hear, and I'm like, oh, shit. She wants to go pee or whatever. So I let her out. Some nights I go out with her and let her do it. And some nights I just stand there. I'm like, go do your business. I don't want to go outside because in Texas it's in the 90s, even at night. So she's gone and she's not coming back. I'm like, where is she? And I'm looking and way in the back of the yard, I see her. She's towards the fence and she's digging. She's going, you know, like that. And I go, hey, baby, come here. And I'm like, and she's just ignoring me. She's still digging. You know, she's got a scent of something, a dead rat or something, but she wants to get on the other side of that fence, right? From whatever she smells. So, I'm like, baby, and I'm getting closer and closer to her. I'm like, baby, come here, come here. It's funny, she's coming over to me now because she's like, what do you want?
You're calling me.
She's completely ignoring me. You know, I'm not in this, you know, her attention is completely away. She's not listening to her. So I go, baby, and I go, baby, and I grab her, like, just like to jolt her, you know. I scared the shit out of her. She started going,
oh, shit.
Just like that. And it's the middle of the night, pitch black, and she is like whining. I'm like, chill, chill.
It's okay. Wrong dog, you're going to wake everyone up. I look terrible.
But I must have just like scared the living shit out of her. Like she was in a trance or something, you know, digging. But I was like, chill out, chill out. And I'm petting her, and finally she got normal, and I go, all right, let's go in. But just, you know, in the middle of the night, I asked Heather.
Did you ever figure out what it was she was going for?
No, but she has found a rat before.
Oh.
A dead rat in her mouth. So
it's really attractive.
I figured it was a rat. We have woods a little bit in a distance, you know, like a block over, and I figure they come from there.
They're migrating from Dallas.
I see a lot of possums around, and I figure they eat the rats. So I think she found it already dead. No, baby, don't chew in the chair, little shit. All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Where did Jay go?
He went to throw up.
What is the problem?
The new machine is acting up. Up bars are bigger.
They are bigger.
What do you suggest?
As your immediate supervisor, I needn't tell you the procedure.
Call the boss.
That's correct. You can only know how much he likes that machine.
It's his baby.
Rules are rules.
Call the boss.
Correct.
You know, he dedicated that machine to his mother.
I think you were on vacation.
He loves it very much.
Any suggestions?
Introducing Bigger Mounds and Bigger Almond Joy. The chocolate's bigger, the coconut's bigger, everything's bigger.
My wife. I love her.
I hate her. She can eat anything and not gain a pound. Now she's drinking my Diet 7-Up because this taste test proved it tastes better than the other leading diet drinks. Great. Now people who can drink anything are drinking all the Diet 7-Up. Is that fair? There'll be shortages, rationing.
Want some ice cream, honey?
No, thanks, dear. I hate her.
Only one taste is so good.
Diet 7-Up.
How to start an impressive family art collection. First, find some talented local artists. Then inspire them with Crayola Happy Meal boxes from McDonald's. Every Crayola Happy Meal comes with your children's favorite McDonald's foods, plus an art kit with a McDonaldland stencil and 4 Crayola crayons or a Crayola marker. There are 4 sets in all, a different one each week. With Crayola Happy Meal boxes from McDonald's, it's easy to build a family art collection. After all, you already have the family art gallery.
Excuse me, Daddy.
Buddy Ebsen returns in a 2-hour NBC Family special. A young boy faces the challenge of his life to save his grandfather and their ranch. Stone Fox, Monday.
Babies, take your mark.
One of these diapers keeps babies so dry.
Get set.
It'll take on any thick diaper.
Go.
It's drier than all of them. Ultra Pampers. Even when it's wet, it's dry. Because Ultra Pampers' thin, lock-away core locks wetness away from baby. You can pour on wetness, but you can't squeeze it out. The winner over all thick diapers is Ultra Pampers. Even when they're wet, they're dry. The driest.
Hey, what a plan for building a perfect cheeseburger. Start with cheese. Glorious cheese. A plank of Swiss over here. Ah, a perfect Swiss burger. Cut that cheddar for a bacon cheddar burger. Haul in the Monterey Jack. A perfect Mexican burger.
To get your plans, hurry to your grocer's meat or dairy case and enter the Build a Perfect Cheeseburger sweepstakes.
You could win a perfect patio and barbecue set.
With real cheese, every cheeseburger you build will be
perfect.
A recent taste test proved that Diet 7-Up tastes better than the other leading diet drinks.
Here, let me help you with this.
This news may dramatically increase demand.
Here you are, ma'am.
Oh, thank you.
Unfortunately, to avoid a shortage of Diet 7-Up, people who may not really need it may be asked to limit their purchase.
Freeze!
Only one taste feels so good.
Diet 7-Up.
I'd like you to try Rancher's Choice Dressing from Kraft.
No, thanks. I like Hidden Valley.
Oh, you're going to be tough.
You're not kidding.
You'll like Rancher's Choice even better. It's got lots of tasty herbs and spices.
Oh, it's got lots of tasty herbs and spices.
And it's incredibly thick and creamy.
So it's incredibly thick and creamy.
So why don't you try it?
So I love it. Oh, my goodness, it's delicious. I love it.
Rancher's Choice, also in reduced calorie.
I love it.
He's a 42-year-old ex-Marine.
Get up!
He's a 14-year-old boy genius. Together, they'll trash the freshman class in Ruby's premiering Friday.
Then, on a Sunday picnic, the Willoughby's daughter was lost. That was 40 years ago. Then, one night...
Daddy?
Friday.
Well, fans, it all comes down to this moment. This is where it all gets decided. Johnson steps in. Checks the signs. Makes a few adjustments. This is a classic confrontation. He's digging in. Here's the delivery. And there it goes. He's going back, back, way back. It is going, going. It is gone.
Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
The ball game's over.
7-Eleven slices prices. Take a look and save with these price slicer specials. 10-ounce original New York seltzer, all flavors, just 49 cents a bottle. Ever-ready alkaline batteries, a single 9-volt or two packs of CD and AAA, $1.69. And four packs of AA are just $2.09. Get hot all-beef hamburgers with all the fixings, 59 cents. Cheeseburgers, just 10 cents more. Great everyday prices, plus super low specials are featured at participating 7-Elevens 24 hours a day.
Victory for women in the workplace at 11.
Here he comes!
Freddy! Happy birthday!
Freddy! Happy birthday, Teddy!
What is it?
It's Robbie!
It's Robbie!
Robbie!
There's nothing in the world like a good friend.
You can say that again.
Oh, Teddy Ruxpin is my friend.
And Grubby's my friend, too.
That's me.
Teddy Ruxpin's pal Grubby. The best friend for your best friend.
Good news, baby.
Now you can wiggle. You can scrunch. Be a moving honey bunch. Cause now you can't wiggle. Wet this out of love.
Introducing Love's new super baby pants. Thick diapers can bunch up when they're really wet. But Love's new thin padding can stay put. And once wetness is in, it can't wiggle back out.
No matter how you shimmy, shake, and jiggle, you can't wiggle wetness out of love.
And now some typical consumer reaction to an exciting Pizza Hut offer.
Yummy!
Yabba dabba doo.
Yabba dabba
doo. That's right. It's Flintstone kids glasses. Freddy, Betty, Wilma, and Barney. Just 49 cents with any Pizza Hut pizza. There's a different glass every week, so you can collect all four for your kids. What do you say to that?
Yabba dabba doo.
Flintstone kids glasses. Only at Pizza Hut.
Is this a private party or can any star crash? So, New Coke is catching on. The taste is better and newer than... You said the P word. So, what I want to know is, if you're drinking Coke, who's drinking Pepsi?
You said the P word!
If you can't beat it, catch the wave. Coke.
Raise your hand.
Hold it, America. You can raise it or you can raise it higher.
Raise it higher. Now you're dry.
New formula sure aerosol, stronger ingredients that go on drier and keep you drier too.
You got confidence, America, even more than before. Raise it higher, sure is drier for sure.
Soon this street will be teeming with people, tasting exotic foods from all over the world.
Thank you. Is it good?
Good and spicy.
Now Anne is about to experience a problem that's universal.
Please. I've got heartburn. Can you beat that?
As a matter of fact, I can.
Pepto for heartburn?
Sure.
As Pepto coats, it soothes heartburn, as well as upset stomach and diarrhea.
I didn't know you could talk.
I can't.
Pepto-Bismol, the one that coats, is the only one you need.
Those dedicated graduates are back. See them in your neighborhood while you still have one. Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, rated PG. Starts Friday, April 3rd.
Wednesday is Night Court ready for its new night.
Oh, no!
And on the Tortellis, Nick becomes Man of the Year.
Here's your honorarium.
You have my gratitudium.
Then Joe Danzig's no ordinary man.
The days of the little red brick schoolhouse are over.
And this is definitely no ordinary show. The Bronx Zoo, premiering Wednesday.
That's generations ahead.
Big cheeses have more cheeses. Big cheeses have more cheeses. Big cheeses have more for you to love. It's a triple taste treat that can't be beat, yay.
Burger King introduces the Big Cheese. Swiss, Jack, and American on a flame-broiled burger. There's more for you to love.
Cause we do it like you to do it at Burger King.
Most hot dogs don't quite make it to the end of the bun, so you're left with the end of the bun.
Here you go, Ralph.
That's why Hillshire Farm created bun-sized wieners. Kids like them because they taste great. Moms like them because they're made with quality cuts of beef and pork. And they're longer, so they fit the bun better. You get a bite of hot dog for every bite of bun.
Sorry, Ralph.
Bun-sized wieners from Hillshire Farm.
Gonna have me some fun.
Bun-sized wieners.
I was going to say that same thing.
Have you ever had a dream that that you had him to do you so much you could do anything?
The thing I love most about that video is when he finishes, he gives a little smile. Like,
yeah, he's totally satisfied. Like, I got it out. Everything is good now.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
All right. Collection intervention on Sci-Fi, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
I was excited about this show because it's hosted by... is it Elise Lurray?
Right.
She was... I had kind of a crush on her whenever she was on History Detectives on PBS.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty.
And it, well, you know, she's not bad. And it probably had more of the fact that she was always nipping out on History Detectives.
Okay.
So, I know, I'm sorry.
Come on.
But I am the historian of ass, and I have to point these things out. She's not afraid to put the high beams on once in a while.
Right.
And I was just wondering if any of this was going on collection intervention.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all.
I don't know. I didn't notice.
Okay.
But
well,
what the show is about is people with
something to look forward to.
Their collections are out of control, Bill. Way out of control.
All right.
I wasn't sure what the point of the show was, but she's there to have them get control of it, get rid of some stuff, you know, you can still have your collection, but just chill out. You're taking up too much of the house. You're overtaking everything. And the first thing,
not caring of it right.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why there needs. Why does there need to be the intervention? Like, other than it
because
being
they don't,
like,
the person doesn't know how to pare it down themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the first one is this.
They're almost hoarders with
this. Yeah, this guy, this first guy, he's really into Catwoman. Like, he's obsessed with Catwoman.
Right, well, that's just a little creepy.
Where he collects, you know, figurines, comics, posters, just everything you
Anything.
Can think of. But he doesn't have it on display proudly. He hides it in his garage like it's porn or something. And
well, he knows it's creepy.
His wife is like, yeah, he's got his dirty little secret in there, and he won't let her in there. Because mainly he doesn't want her to see how much money he's wasting on this shit, you know?
Oh, okay.
And so he's thinking,
that was he was spending his money and didn't have the money for rent on
the
house.
They're like, we can't even pay a mortgage, and he's buying Catwoman stuff. And
that's not good.
His wife is really cute. I was like, dude, why don't you just have your wife dress up like Catwoman? You
know? Yeah, no shit.
Like, hey, I'll trade all the stuff if you wear a Catwoman outfit every day around the house. In character. Okay, I'll stay in character as Catwoman the entire time. But so they go to the lady, the host shows up to see his Catwoman collection. And she's surprised to see that he doesn't have anything on display. It's all in these ratty boxes, just in a dink garage. Oh. Just everything losing value the way he stores it, you know. And there's even a moment, I don't have a clip of this, but where he gets it appraised, you know, where this guy is telling him how much this... He has a bunch of Mego figures. You know, those can make good money. Like, he has a bunch of stuff, like, not just Catwoman collectibles, but he stored them like shit, and the boxes have gotten damaged and stuff. And he's thinking, what, like, he's got... He's sitting on $100,000 easy, but the guy's like, I'll give you...
$1,000.
I'll give you $1,000. And the guy, he's like, what? And he goes, $1,100. But he thought he had like $100,000 worth of stuff. But let's check this out.
There's a huge disturbance in the forest.
While some collectors obsess over an entire universe like Star Wars, others become consumed with just one particular character.
My name's Lolly, and I'm married to this crazy Catwoman collector. My husband Mark's obsession is out of control. Mark and I got married 2 years ago.
He promised me that he'd get his Catwoman collection under control, but he hasn't.
Some people collect for artists, some people collect for writers. I'm more of a character collector. I think growing up, definitely, I had a crush on Catwoman. I thought she was hot, she was sexy, she had a whip. I have so much in this collection that I often forget what I even have. I might have the biggest Catwoman collection that's around.
Mark and I have been in debt. Mark would go out and buy Catwoman stuff before he takes care of our mortgage. Mark hides his collection in the garage.
It's kind of like a black hole.
It's like his little dirty
Not a white
secret.
Hole?
Mark is a character collector obsessed with Catwoman, and his wife, Lolly, has had enough. But Mark's collection is hidden in the garage. Before Elise can determine a plan of attack, she'll have to see just how severe the collection is.
It's back here.
Okay.
There it is.
Wow.
I keep it all in boxes.
This is all your collection?
Yeah.
It's filthy. This is not what I was expecting at all. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Keeping a collection in an uncontrolled environment.
Yeah, that's Gordon Ramsay's line.
Major damage. Wow, really need to go through each piece, box by box, to see what they're like.
How did that break?
I mean, they should be stored on a shelf like this, lined up, protected. They're breaking right now. The garage is complete chaos.
Oh my God, why do I have two of these horrible
all
ones?
Over this. I don't understand why you have doubles. Let's sell them.
I think one of Mark's biggest problems is no one's ever really sat down with him and given him some tips on how to collect, and it just got out of control. Basically, by doing what you've done, you're losing the value of your collection daily.
I'm hoping over time he'll get a better idea on how to manage his collection properly.
Don't you think that's kind of creepy that he goes and he buys something of Catwoman, then he comes home, opens the garage, sticks it in a box, and just closes the garage?
Yeah, he's ashamed, and it's creepy. It's just weird. There's no explanation for it.
And she gets him to do is set up like a Catwoman sale at a comic book store or something, where he puts everything on display for people who are collectors to come and see it.
First, he takes the most important stuff that he has, he thinks he has, and that's when the guy offers him $1,000.
Right. It's non-Catwoman
stuff. For everything?
For a bunch of things.
Yeah, a bunch of non-Catwoman stuff he has, like the Mego figures and stuff like that.
He had the $6 million man, one of the figures that was made.
Yeah, he had a lot of really nerdy stuff that I would think... I almost thought it was worth way more than the guy was offering him. But he was going, well, the box is damaged and stuff like that.
He'll sell it for double what he paid.
Right, right.
So, I mean,
but another thing is, when he sets up the little store, he's not sure he wants to sell anything. He's just seeing what people will offer. Like, hey, I'll give you something for this shirt. And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what? This guy's a moron. But his wife starts to sell this Catwoman bust. It's of the Michelle Pfeiffer head, you know? And this guy wants to buy it for what? Like $100 or something? I forget. Maybe it's $500. I don't know.
It's over 100, and she says 110. And
he's like, okay. And so she's selling it to me. He's like, well, what are you doing? I don't want to sell that. She's like, why do you have it here? But it's so funny. Guy's a dipshit. Oh, finally, baby's winding down. But my favorite is this lady. She's a sweet lady. She's married to the perfect guy. They both love Star Wars, Bill.
Oh, okay.
And they've been collecting Star Wars things their entire lives. Their entire house is Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. Figures, models, posters, statues, just everything you could think of. And she doesn't want to get rid of any of it. She finally gets talked into giving one tiny Wicket Ewok figure.
Oh.
And she bursts into tears. But... the reason she gives it to him is the host lady says, wouldn't you like to spread the joy that you get from the Star Wars stuff to other people? And she's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should do this. And she goes, I want you to take this. And she just kind of like loses it. And later on, they go to an auction. They picked out some things they really don't need. They're going to auction it off at Rancho Obi-Wan.
Rancho Obi-Wan.
It's a Star Wars type auction house, right? Is that what it was, I guess?
It was a museum some dude started.
Yeah.
And he's a friend of this chick.
And they do auctions or whatever.
Yeah, he holds auctions and sells.
And they auctioned something off first. I forget what it was. Some kind
Jango Fett guns.
The Jango Fett guns. And they were pretty sweet looking. The silver pistols, you know, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
And they auctioned them off pretty fast for...
$1,500.
$1,500, just like that. And she's like...
Oh, nice.
She's like, okay.
She freaks out.
I want to stop this. I'm done. I don't want to sell anything. I don't like the way he's talking about the...
He's treating them like they're objects.
Yeah, and she goes, "Okay,
they all have a history."
She wants them to talk more about how important they are and how emotional they are and how much joy they've given her to auction them. So the host lady goes up there. She goes, "She's had these since this age, and this means this much to her." And she's like, "Okay, that's better." It's kind of funny, but let's go ahead and check this out. I don't think the lady's crazy. I just think she lives in her own world.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Wow. There is a ton of stuff in here.
One of my favorite pieces actually is my Darth Vader collector's case. I wanted this so bad when I was little. I could never find it. Well, my dad was a truck driver, and so he actually was in Laredo, Texas, and randomly found it at a store. So he brought it all the way back for me, and it was under the tree for me in Christmas 1980.
That's great. Immediately when somebody tells me a story like that, I actually say to them, I don't want to buy because of the memories that are attached to it. And then with the loose stuff... This is basically what everybody once when they start collecting. They come back to the figures. Everybody had it, and it is the single biggest source of nostalgia next to the movies. The Ewoks sell faster than the classic characters. Hmm. I don't think that we put a loose Ewok out for less than $10 or $15. So we can give you probably $75 on the Ewoks.
It was weird to hear a dollar amount with our friends, you know, on the floor. I'm
that's
like, wow,
your first
actually
Star Wars
money.
Friends.
What are your thoughts?
I'd love to make you an offer on the loose figures and the loose figures from the case, because I'm not going to ask you for the case. But, you know, would you be willing to sell this stuff? We'd probably pay about $300 for the group of it. Does that be something you're interested in?
No. Everything is very personal to me. So they're my friends. So unless you give me a different spiel or a different pitch, I'm not getting rid of it.
What if it was $500?
No. The action figures for me
what about this
was one of the first things that I could ever afford to buy on my own. They do mean something to me. I'm not ready to part with them yet. No.
Can we talk?
Snaggle.
Of course. I want you to explain to me your pure emotion for these pieces.
I mean, everything changed when I saw Star Wars when I was 6 years old. It really did. Oh. And growing up in the middle of nowhere, I really was alone a lot. And
where did you live in?
My Star Wars stuff was my escape. Like, my room was my safe place.
You live in a van down by the river.
And you have, like, rare pieces, like the ones that we were just kind of looking at with Brian, they might be able to make some other people happy as much as they brought the happiness to you.
Right.
Like, why not let somebody else feel that joy?
That actually resonates with me, the thought that it could really bring somebody else as much joy as it has us. Why not spread the wealth?
What a way to manipulate her. Perfect.
Maybe. We had a really good talk. I
feel like she's taking advantage of a mentally ill person.
Of our figures.
So which one's it going to be?
So one.
If anybody comes in, what's the one Ewok they're going to ask for?
Wicked.
They want Wicked.
There you go.
Go and hand Wicked off.
Don't you part with that Wicked.
And I just want you to take him. I don't want you to make him drunk.
Just want to make him drunk.
Instead, thank you.
Can I have a snaggle tooth also?
No. Well, I hope so. That's what it's about.
Isn't it for all?
It's happy.
That Bossk character is really That's something special. I want that.
I was very surprised when Kinsetic let her precious little Wicket go to a relative stranger. I was blown away. Blown away.
Precious little Wicket.
She'd come so far in just a short amount of time.
Consenting dickhead.
I'm very proud of Kinsetta.
So find a good home for him.
Mm-hmm.
I know you will.
I will.
I'm very proud of you. I know that was amazing.
Kinsetta has turned a corner.
It's going in my box in my garage.
Yeah. I'm selling it to this Catwoman guy. No! He'll just stay in his garage. So eventually, she's
for Ewoks.
I'm gonna go sell it for $200.
I guess she lightened the load. She got rid of some stuff.
She's a few bricks shy of a load.
Because they had a lot of decorations, but then they had when you know it's going where it's just sitting on the floor in the living room. They don't even take them out of the boxes anymore. It's like, okay, now you just don't even care anymore.
If you take it out of the box, then it loses its value.
Yeah, but it's just like they just have
shit
in boxes on the
floor. But she wasn't worried about the value of it.
You know?
She loved it for Star Wars. So
what
would it matter?
Friends, you know. I don't know. The dog's gone. Where did she go?
She's still on the couch.
She's on the other side. So that's an interesting show, Bill, but it looks like the upcoming episodes are the real crazies. Like the wife going, he has comic books everywhere! You know? That's what I want to see. You get off my back, woman! Stay away from my Aquaman collection!
The one guy, I don't know if you saw the little commercial for it, but the guy's like, well, I don't buy just one. I buy a case of the same comic.
Yeah. And I remember back when the I knew people who did this. I certainly didn't do it. I couldn't afford it. But the speculations of what would sell.
Oh, my God.
People would buy, like, 10 number one issues of something that launched. Like
Deathlok.
Like when Todd McFarlane was on Spider-Man, and they relaunched Spider-Man with a number one issue for collectors to sell a lot. There are people like, I'm going to buy 100 issues of this. But they don't realize, dude, when there's like all these copies of this out there, it's not going to be like the original Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
It'll be worth something, but it's not going to be like outrageous.
Yeah, if you flood the market with something, the prices go down automatically.
Right, and that's what happened. And then the whole comic book industry kind of like, when a reality check happened, it was like, oh shit, you know, we were having these ungodly numbers for a while with collectors, but now we're not anymore.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, there was the collection boom, and then they actually started selling comic books at the grocery store.
Right.
And it was like you could go there and like buy a pack of 10 of them for like $2 or something. And it was all the same like overproduced bullshit.
Remember, Stephen, the Wizard magazine?
Yeah.
They had magazines about collecting. Yeah. Those have all like gone out of business, I believe. There's, you know, all that shit. Or whatever. Okay, let's talk about Hotel Hell, Gordon Ramsay's new show, where he is all about hospitality, right?
Because when you think hospitality, you think Gordon Ramsay.
And you think Juniper Hill, this lovely...
Juniper Hill.
That place was beautiful, wasn't it? The town really and...
Gorgeous.
Everything was. The only problem is, here's what was creepy. There was this older, rich guy who had his little boyfriend who was spending all of his money. Am I right?
Yeah. $1 million, he said.
And
name was Ari, and he's Finnish.
And he would go, excuse me, I am the boss.
I thought he was German. Frightened of the man.
But
like,
he
looked
Finland?
Like a Nazi officer.
Yeah, he did. He looked like an extra from Raiders of the Lost Ark or something.
Schindler's List.
But he turns out he's... Finnish, I believe.
Yeah.
But he basically has a lot of money, or did. He's retired now.
So now they live in an RV.
And he has this young boy toy guy who thinks
he's an art collector.
Yeah. He knows all about antiques. How painful was that when he got it appraised? And she goes, a lot of these are just copies of stuff.
So clueless. They were taken advantage of. How much money did they spend in it? Like $100,000? And the lady said, I'll give you 10 or something.
20. She gave him 20.
Well, Gordon Ramsay was hoping, I don't know if he would probably knew maybe, or he was hoping it would be at least $300,000 to pay off a lot of debt and stuff, or pay off the staff. And he was like, she was like, $10,000 tops. And he's like, you're kidding.
Didn't she say something like, this isn't really a collection?
It's just like...
It's hodgepodge.
It's like a guy going on the internet just buying whatever is what he was doing.
I love the one painting they were so proud of, and that Ari condescended to everyone.
Yeah, he goes, don't you know what this is?
You don't know what this is?
What is he like? This is the Hannibal riding the elephants. I don't know what he's talking about. But
yeah, that's what it was. And the lady's like, well, that's just a really bad copy.
Yeah, she's like, that doesn't even look close to real. And then he's just like, oh.
They should have got Neil Caffrey to do it.
I only paid like $300,000 for that, so okay. So basically when Gordon shows up, the place is run badly, and he talks to the staff, and the staff's like, we hardly get paid, or I have to beg.
One lady that's like 70 years old hadn't got paid, and did she say like,
3 weeks or something?
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks.
And she made $6,000 the year before.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of me thinks, why do they stay there? But they are in a small town. Maybe there's no jobs.
Yes, nowhere else to go.
Right.
And maybe they're kind of guilty in that they like the prestige of being like, oh, I work at the Juniper Inn.
Right. It's like the inn there, he has his friend show up. And they get to stay there for free, wine and dine, and they look like rich hotshots. And
nobody pays.
No one pays for anything, so the staff doesn't get paid for anything. And when people – they determine later that when people do tip, the owner takes a percentage.
Half.
Yeah. But here's the first part of the episode. There was a part one where Gordon just can't take it anymore, where he has to confront him in front of everyone. And it's, I thought it was fantastic. So let's check this out. Oh, and by the way, I love how the guy doesn't even live in the hotel, the inn. He lives in this giant $100,000 RV.
It's a motor coach.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not an RV.
Don't even imply that it's a recreational vehicle.
And
that
you love his little poodle
coach.
He's always petting, you know.
And it looks like, you know, they keep talking about how it's a $100,000 motor coach. It's a dump.
Yeah.
It looks like it's seen better days.
Well, don't those things expand where you have more room? Why was it
I thought they did, but apparently that one doesn't.
It's like one of those tour bus type of things.
Yeah, and
it's
just parked on the side of this beautiful old building.
Oh, and
like, it's a blight.
I love the one guy who's like the groundskeeper. He goes, Gordon, I want to come show you this. And he's like, here's where the pigs
four
live.
Four Connex boxes in the back.
Well, do you remember he had the live pigs in the basement?
Yeah.
He was like, what?
The pigs. There were like four pigs.
Yeah. He goes, they're living better than the staff.
I had completely forgotten that they said that they had potbelly pigs. And then I was like, oh, they're raising their own pork? Like, I thought maybe those were for kitchen pigs.
No. And it's just pets, right?
They just live in hay.
Just something the guy
lunchtime
wants.
Lunchtime pigs.
And what about, like, use the storage containers in the back, like four of them? How much do those storage containers cost alone?
$2,000 apiece, roughly.
Yeah.
And is he renting them, or do they own them, or what?
No, they rent them. They,
well, you can buy them, too.
That.
But they said the stuff in it is worth less than the rent for them. So
yeah. And that I loved when just skipping around here. Remember the their little poodle when Gordon Ramsay's setting up the restaurant part of it. He goes, "You could have people over and have a bar and drinks." And the little poodle, she goes, "We need to get the poodle out of here. It's unprofessional, whatever." He's like, "Excuse me, excuse me." And she's like, oh.
She turns into Colonel Schultz.
Your papers, please. Wait, I work here. What, is the employment papers? I was like, they're right here. See, I work here. All right, let's go ahead and check this out.
There's a huge disturbance in the forest.
Wrong clip. Hey, we're out of practice, right? All right, here we go.
I've never seen a hotel, an inn, in such disarray.
There needs to be structure, and there isn't structure. It's just like a scramble.
It's a mess.
Scrambled eggs?
There was no order in the kitchen. Nobody took responsibility for any one thing.
No one has been taught any standards in any department.
Really, it's like I'm racing from thing to thing. Nobody knows what the other one's doing.
There's nobody here that is in control, willing to take charge.
I did 40 dinners by myself tonight.
I could help you, and you've never asked. I can cook the rack of lamb.
Excuse me.
Bragging about
excuse
making
me.
One plate is nothing
like
to brag about.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I am the boss.
You can't call yourself the boss if you don't pay them.
That part right there seemed 80-yard to me of Gordon.
Yeah. There's a moment that's completely fabricated. And, and it's that. It's the moment whenever it's the poodle moment whenever she runs upstairs, because they do these multiple cuts that are obviously from another point in the show.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought that was totally created, that drama.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, do you think that's normal, Ari? Do you think that's the way to look after your team?
Every pay period, there was a problem with the checks. Every pay period, there's a problem with the checks.
And a lot of
I don't know what the problem is, but I know it's the same two people.
And do you get to know about it first, or do you have to go ask him for your salary?
I always ask for it.
That's absolutely wrong. And the reason is...
He's lying.
No, he's not lying. I would rather have them wait than write a check that's going to bounce.
What?
Because I don't...
How about telling him it's not going to be ready? Rather than having to ask, like some skivvy, cap in hand, please, sir, may I get paid? Anybody else have to wait?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How long?
5 days more.
Barbara?
I had to wait 5 weeks.
You had to what?
I had to wait 5 weeks before I got a paycheck.
5 weeks? Mm-hmm. Guys, you come in and you work your ass off. The least these two guys can do is pay your salary on time.
I don't have a secretary, Gordon. I'm sorry. I'm trying to communicate with brides. I'm trying to send out things. I have to have peaceful time in order to do my work.
Are you always this pathetic?
I am not pathetic.
Well, when are you going to stand up and start showing some respect for your team and start growing a pair to sort of understand the mess you're in?
I understand the mess we're in. Right. I'm fighting for the team.
You dug the hole.
Yes, we
did. And put them in it. So they're...
They don't have to work here.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
You know, the bottom line is...
Oh, how dare you?
No, they don't have to work here.
How dare you? How dare you? They don't have to work here. Oh, my God.
I
you disrespectful, disgusting man. They don't have to work here. I don't think you realize how lucky you are. Because if it wasn't for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, you'd be driving that RV miles away from here.
Robert definitely needs
a motor coach.
It's life or death right now. And I don't think he actually realizes what kind of jeopardy this place is in.
It's not all about you, Robert. Robert's world, Robert's bubble, Robert's dream. You're not the Lord of the Manor.
Bobby's
you're not the
world.
Great Gatsby. You're Robert. It's only me in here.
Excuse me.
Go on then, you pompous...
Excuse me. Don't talk to me like that.
What's wrong with it? I want to know what's wrong with it.
Don't speak to me like
well,
that.
Well, I'm telling you. You get your head me. Out of your and start getting a little real. You still haven't got it that this place is sinking. Start paying a little bit more attention to the guys on the ground. Understand how hard it is out there. Forget your antique roadshow. And start from the bottom running this business. You're right. There's no structure. It's fragmented. The team needs a leader. They need a structure. They need a mentor. They need some support. And all they get is nitpicks. What kind of motivation is that? All I've heard since I've been here is that you're just blaming people. Well, I'm blaming you for not taking charge. Get real.
I loved how red and sweaty the guy was.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was his head exploding.
I love that he keeps asking them also, are you sure you want to be in this business? You could just, like, sell everything and leave, you know?
Yeah.
Why do you want
well,
to do this?
Well, they're obsessed with the idea that they can be the life of the party.
Yeah, we run this in. And, you know, when they showed clips of them with their friends, did you notice, like, they would have the head throwback laughs, like, oh, like,
oh, we are high society, bon vivant.
This is the greatest time ever. Oh, Ari, you're so scary.
You're so witty.
So Finnish.
Excuse me!
Excuse me! Yo, I am the boss! Yo, don't speak to me like that! I'm in the gas chamber with you!
It's like, it's creepy how Ari has a Hitler mustache.
Why is he always putting his arm out like that?
He's reaching something up on a high shelf with his right arm, I think. It's high!
But he's not even grabbing at it. He's just pointing at it with his hand.
Now... I have another clip here. It's when I love this when they tell Gordon that he takes our tips from us.
Oh my God, that is so uncomfortable.
And
it's the clip where he calls one of his friends.
Yeah, he goes, "Well, Gordon, I have reasons for doing that." And he's like, "I take their tips to show them I'll keep taking your tips unless you do this right." And he's like, "Oh my God." And he's like, I'll call my friends and, you know, because he goes, you have all your friends over, but they don't even tip the staff. And he goes, well.
They tell me they do.
They tell me they do. And he goes, I could call them. He goes, you don't have the balls to call them. He goes, yes, I do.
I have massive balls, Gordon.
I have huge balls. Just Ari.
Ask Ari. He loves large balls.
Ari, bring me my balls, Ari.
He brings them in two big old bowling ball bags.
But I just love this when he does call the friend and the first answer he gets, Gordon's like, all right, I've heard enough.
You disgusting little twat.
Robert prides himself as the superior business person. Robert walks around like he's gonna king, and that everybody here is a bunch of hicks.
This is insane. This is like a private club for him.
He's worked with the servers before and accepted a portion of the tips.
Oh my God. How? He's taking their bloody tips.
Imagine, this guy is mad.
I can't believe this. He doesn't pay them, and then he takes their tips.
I gotta talk to him.
Is it true that Robert takes a percentage of the tips?
Yes.
He does?
Yeah.
And what percentage of tips does he take?
What we get.
He gets the same as you?
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep track of the tips. The bookkeeping. It seems inconsistent.
But why is he touching the tips?
He did the same thing for New Year's. They felt that because they needed to cover part of the band, that they took the tips off.
That tip.
I have to confront him and figure out this nonsense.
I do love Gordon
had a look
narrating
around
himself.
I am flabbergasted. I'm going to be really frank. I'm going to try to stay
so calm. I'm just a flab.
But if I smell BS that you start going into denial, I'm going to let rip again. I studied your reservations. Last November, December, 49 rooms were given out for free. And on top of that, they ate, they drank.
49.
Not even tipping. And I'm just, what are you doing? Tell me why.
I thought I needed to have somebody here. Rather than having two other guests in the hotel all by themselves to have more energy.
You're making it worse.
Not only do your friends not leave tips, but when people do tip the staff, you take a share.
On nights that I work, I did take tips.
That is disgusting. Why do you think you got a right to that?
I have tried to work with my staff to teach them that this is the way I want service done.
You're so bad.
I take a percentage of the tips based on the amount of work that I do.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't strangle him.
Ari. But if I'm doing their job and I can't get it across to them...
You're the owner. You're not the head busboy. You're not the barman. You're the owner.
What I was saying wasn't getting through. So the psychology was that if I started to take tips, they would maybe pay attention to that.
That is insane.
That's such bullshit.
That's the worst management module I've ever heard in my entire life. Do you honestly need a 70-year-old lady's tips?
No.
So
yes,
15,
so
20 grand worth
teats.
Of complimentary rooms in food in a two-month period. Make sense.
I have to tell you that the reason I did that was because I thought that they would at least tip my staff.
But they didn't tip your staff.
Sorry. To on your bonfire.
Well, then I will call my friends and I will tell them, look, what happened?
You haven't got the balls to call your friends and ask them to leave a tip.
Yes, I do.
Call them then.
I have huge ones for them.
And ask them, I thought at least out of generosity, you would have left a couple of $100 tip for the team.
Hello?
Dana?
Yes?
It's Robert. You stayed here recently, and I was under the impression that you and Greg left a tip. Did you leave a tip?
No, I left the money with you.
No. But you said you were going to send additional tips.
No, don't say that.
My time's done here.
That was one of the things that I was hoping you had done.
If I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I'm very sorry, and I'll...
I left the money with you.
Well, wait a minute. There's others to call, too.
There's others.
Gordon has left. He thinks I'm stealing my staff's tips.
Unbelievable.
Well, you are, your queen.
I left the money with you.
Oh, so I need to do that. I somehow lost that.
Idiot.
Gordon left, thinking I'm a liar.
I feel as if I'm at the end of my rope.
Uh-oh. Because you got caught in a lot.
I'm going to have to start all over again if this doesn't work.
Oh, he's going to stop me.
I have to find a new rich boyfriend.
I can do it. Find a new rich boyfriend.
No, I can't do it.
At least Mr. Poodle loves me.
Wow.
It's Mr. Poodle laying a deuce on the floor in the... In the motor coach.
What's so weird? Just like Kitchen Nightmares, there's always a moment where they flip the switch, where they come to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after he had everything appraised that the antiques weren't worth shit, that he was like, okay, I think I understand now, and I need to just go with Gordon.
Oh, okay, I'm delusional.
Yeah, I am delusional.
I don't know how to hunt down a good art bargain.
It is funny that at the end, you know, Gordon kept telling Ari to stay in the back. You know, you stay, you
You're dumb. You run the back of the house. Scaring the clientele, Ari.
Remember when he had the
Would
they
you
had the
please
old...
take off the Nazi officer uniform?
When he had the old guest who came there, they go, "Will you ever come back?" And they're like, "No." And he goes, "Well, you'll be it's because you're all stupid people or something." He just started to get defensive with them, and they're like, "Dude, this is no way to keep clients, to have people
come
back.
You are not part of the Aryan Nation!
You are not blonde and blue-eyed like me!" Did you guys notice...
You are not invited back!
Where is my doggy?
Did you guys notice the main weasel guy's face, like his complexion got worse and worse as Gordon was there? Like he was breaking out.
Yeah, it was redder and redder and redder.
It cracked me up.
I even liked after they kind of slimmed down the place and made the entrance room nicer. Ari was still like that stone faced. He's like, "Oh yeah, it's great." Like, "Oh, really? You're so enthusiastic, Ari."
"I change it all as soon as you leave."
"Where is my swastika?"
That is insane.
I do love the Hotel Hell theme song. Did you guys like that?
Still play it again, please.
Awesome.
At least it's not fire.
I know. But this show is done by his one potato, two potato, and I like how he narrates it. It doesn't have that voiceover of some narrator going, "Gordon seems very angry." You know, it's like, well, duh.
Well, they could stop with the music. The music is a little much. That's...
"You can't call yourself the boss if you don't pay them."
Yeah, that's... I don't know whose idea. Oh, that was one of the great jokes at the beginning of the Riff Tracks thing. That I went, "Oh, Jason will love that." Whenever it went, "Name this tune, Blom."
Yeah, Blom.
One time.
Inception
74 times.
Yeah.
"Excuse me.
Don't talk to me that way.
I will put you in the oven."
Oh my god.
"Go on then, you pompous."
"I am here with Kurt Waldheim Jr.
Are you guys all caught up on Alphas?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great show, isn't it?
I love Alphas. I hate seeing Gary in distress. It's killing me.
I know that. It screams he does. And you know what? I was talking to Steven about this, how it's funny at first when you realize, you know. He's relieving stress from being incarcerated, right? But then when he explains what it's really about, Anna, and they killed her, the girl that he loved or cared about or whatever. And then I felt bad. You know, it wasn't funny anymore. You're like, oh, yeah, she was shot in the head. And he saw
in
that.
None of him. Yeah.
It traumatized him. And the way he deals with it every morning is he screams at the top of his lungs. That's how he deals with his
anxiety over it.
His emotions.
Like a primal reaction.
It's the sadness. It's like.
You want.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel, you know, and then you just can't put it into words.
Yeah, so you just scream.
I love the episode, the last episode where it was Bill in the, like, fighting office.
Fight Club, yeah.
That cracked me up. It's like a semi-serious and semi-funny, like comedic. It's got the goofy girl who can... I figured out her talent right away, though, that she can, you know, whatever she sees, she can do it.
Yeah.
Because remember on Heroes, they had a chick who underdeveloped character that never went anywhere that could do that. Do you guys remember that?
Was that the girl that was on Friday Night Lights for a little while? That
I think so. It was like a black girl who...
The mimic. Yeah.
She watched wrestling and then she could do the wrestling moves.
Okay.
But then they went nowhere.
I forgot all about that. Was like that was whenever they were trying to introduce new characters in the second season. And
then the writer's strike happened or something. I don't know. But they abandoned all of it.
No, they just sucked.
I got nothing.
I am not pathetic.
Yes, you are. But. I really like this episode involving Nina. They kept showing the sad flashbacks to her childhood where her dad is trying to leave and she's like, don't leave. And he's like, okay, I'm going to stay. And he's basically being pushed over and over again. And he needs to leave their horrible marriage. So all he does is fight with her. But there was a great part at the beginning because Gary has moved out of his mom's house. He's scaring her with his screaming. So he lives
in the office.
Well,
and she's just a neurotic mess. Like, I think she's as messed up as he is.
They didn't show it, but I can only imagine how much of a mess she was when he was locked up in, what is that place called? Binghamton?
Binghamton, yeah.
They locked Gary up in Binghamton. And I love that next episode when he's back in the office and he's being mean and, like, hitting people because they're, like, touching his sandwich and stuff. They're like, Gary needs space away from people. But I love the beginning of this episode when Bill and the other chick show up and they see Gary in a towel only. And they're like, what the hell? This whole scene is hilarious. And that's why I love the show, because it's got serious shit going on, but also has great interplay between the characters.
Yeah, it's a great balance.
And I like, you know, I like that they're developing the Indian chick more, who has the different senses. That scene with the guy where he was kind of standoffish and he said, I can't date you because, you know, I work here. But then he goes, you know, I hit an IED in, what was it, in Kandahar, and I've got burns. And when he starts to show her the scar, she covers her nose like she can smell the dead skin. And he's like so like repulsed by her reaction. Like it's like so hurt his feelings, you know. I felt bad for the guy. You know, because obviously he's learning, he's living with a scar there.
Yeah.
She thought he was, he thought she was flinching at the scar, not the smell of it.
Yeah, she was flinching at the smell.
Right, right.
But that's why he's wearing so much cologne, maybe, do you think?
No.
Or that's just because he wore too much cologne.
No, he knew she had the smell thing, so he was trying to smell good for her.
Yeah, because he liked her. So let's check this out.
John said he didn't want to have dinner because we worked together, but when he said it, his heart rate went up and his pupils dilated.
You lie detected the guy with your ability just because he turned you down for a date?
Maybe. Yes, don't judge me.
Rachel, you can't do that.
I'm a freak.
Yeah.
It's because of my ability, right?
No, you are a freak for a million different reasons.
Oh, Hawk just said it.
What? We have rules, right? No cursing me out in foreign language.
I didn't agree to any
of these
rules.
Don't look at me. I'm not ready yet.
Gary.
Gary, what the hell are you doing?
Gary.
What the hell are you doing? Gary.
No, guys.
Gary, why aren't you dressed?
Yeah, I know. I should be dressed by now. But the alarm clock didn't go off. This is a cheap alarm clock. I'm supposed to get up at 7:42. I call my mom at 8 o'clock. Now I have my breakfast. It didn't happen. Bill, it's 9:03.
Gary.
This is chaos.
Gary, why are you taking a shower in the office?
Oh, Dr. Rosen said that I could stay here until I find an apartment.
What? Is that my blanket? But
yeah.
There's hair and skin on my blanket. Gary, were you naked on my blanket?
Yeah, because this gets sticky. This is all sticky on my skin. And Dr. Rosen said that I should make myself comfortable. Come on, guys, get out. This is inappropriate.
You're right. This is definitely inappropriate.
I'm going to have to take off my towel.
No,
and
don't.
You're going to see my fruit.
No!
This fruit.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
Yeah,
this morning.
My fruit. Yeah.
Casual Mondays?
No, I took a shower. Get out.
Excuse me.
Unless, of course, you want to see his fruit.
No, I'll pass. I got to talk to Dr.
Definitely don't
want
to see his fruit.
Welcome to the party, son.
I love Gary. Gary had some great stuff the week before also with Hicks.
Yeah.
He was like, why was she having breakfast with you? What was she doing? You know, and he's like, shut up! He didn't want everyone to know he was sleeping with the daughter. And I love he's like putting two and two together. That was great. But it's a great show. And I love what's the guy's name? The guy who can't age, you know?
Stanton Parrish.
Before that episode, I wondered, now is he just immortal where he doesn't age, or can he not die from wounds? And then they told us in that episode where he'd actually been killed in the Civil War and then came back.
Yeah, he was shot in the head.
He's shot in the head and then he comes back to life. And I was like, okay, now I know. He can't be killed. Dude.
He's like the cheerleader.
Yeah. Cheerleader. And he,
my father's research.
He knows that there's a war coming with alphas pretty much inherit the earth, right? enslave mankind. It's kind of like Magneto-ish, isn't it?
It is. It's a little Magneto-ish, but hey, it's working. It's well done.
It's a natural storyline that would go there if you had these people who could do this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, anyway, a mutation.
Right. So I'm cool to see what's going on, you know, and I love David Strathairn. I just think he's great.
Whistler rules.
Yes. And you know, in this last episode, when Nina takes over Hicks again, when she says, "Protect me, Hicks," and he shoots the blonde guy, I was like, holy shit! I thought
he was
like,
hardcore.
Killed the guy right then. But I thought it was creepy how, like, it was really good how they did it. What's David Strathairn's name in the show?
Dr.
Somebody.
Shit.
But I love where he goes, "We're not going to worry about Nina anymore. We're moving on to this other case." And they're like, "Why? We're so on, you know, what are you doing?" And he goes, No, I'm not interested in that anymore." And she goes, "You've been pushed." And then he realizes that she got to him again and changed his mind about tracking her. And I also thought it was really good how they showed her boyfriend, who you thought was along for the ride the whole time. But it turned out she totally pushed him also. And then they even showed a clip where she was a clip. They showed where she was pushing herself in her reflection. Wasn't that messed up?
Nina character is getting very strange.
Yeah, she was like, "You're fine. Everything's going to be great. You're happy." She's like pushing herself.
Yeah, how can she push herself? Like, if she would have to know she's being pushed.
What I think is she was just trying to or something. Okay. But I did like that part where she, the guy was like, "Is it true, like, your touch is so sensitive you get turned on from just, like, kissing?" And she goes, "Well, let's see." And they had that long, you know, female-on-female kiss or whatever, girl-on-girl stuff. And Hicks was like, "Dude, what the hell?" Like, he's going, "What's going on here?" That was great. And I love that he thinks he's carrying Nina the whole time. And she's like, "Put me down, put me down." And then he's like, "Oh, crap." I thought, that show is well done. I love it.
It is. It's a fun watch every week. I always go, "Oh, I have an Alphas." Like, I never remember to watch it live, but anytime I see that, I have it on my DVR.
It's like this magical show that comes on, you know?
Yeah, it just shows up.
Now, let's go ahead and do some news, Bill, but I haven't watched a single episode of Falling Skies. Are you guys caught up?
Yes. Yeah, I'm totally caught up on it. Getting crazy.
I keep seeing scenes to the finale, and I'm like, damn it, I need to watch this. It looks
crazy.
Yeah,
it's like they're for the longest time, they're trying to make their way to Charleston, and then they finally made their way to Charleston, and John Locke is there.
That's cool. They got Terry O'Quinn on the show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
because
it's really cool.
He's on a show this fall. Did you see it? It's called, like,
66 Park Avenue.
Yeah, where he's like the devil, and I'm like, oh, Terry.
The entire thing looks like
the Al Pacino movie.
Yeah, exactly, Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, so I'm like, what the hell? But when I saw he was on this show, I'm like, oh, good, at least he's on this. Do I need to catch up on this, Falling Skies, so we can talk about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting. There's a whole idea now of a Skeeter rebellion happening.
Nice.
Like, so now it's like, who do you trust? Can the humans actually trust these Skeeters that are rebelling against their controllers? And it's like this whole idea coming up of, like, who are the Skeeters, and are they just a slave of the fish guys, like the big guys? And there's some really cool ideas being brought up. It's still not a great show. It's still got some really groan-inducing moments of, like, bad writing and sometimes really questionable acting and
the human element sometimes.
What?
The human element sometimes where.
Yeah, that's the weakest part. Like, the whole human, like, one of Noah Wiley's sons is falling in love with, like, the hardcore blonde that they hooked up with in first season. And it's just like she has a backstory, and it's just like, I don't care about her backstory. And
I'm right. I like her.
Oh, I like her a lot. Do you remember when she was in Smallville?
No.
And she was like the horny girl that could. She put the red kryptonite on Clark.
No.
Oh yeah, and like there was oh yeah, that she was. I fell in love with her on that show.
Okay, I'm going to catch up. Don't tell me anymore. I'm going to try to catch up.
It brings up some really good ideas.
Cool. All right, well, let's do some news. Whee-hee!
See, interesting.
All right, what do we got in the news this week, Bill?
All right, I'm going to keep this quick because my throat's starting to hurt after last night from laughing so hard, and now tonight from talking. A Georgia Health and Sciences University lab tech was jailed this week after he was found intoxicated with his pants down in the campus locker room.
It was a tale of two sauces.
The kicker is two lab monkeys were found outside their cages along with him.
I'm sorry, it was a bit of a turnoff.
Lab monkeys?
Yeah, according to the Georgia Health Sciences University Police Bureau incident report, a co-worker discovered Coley Mitchell, 32, partially unclosed in the locker room with the two research monkeys. Campus. Yeah, campus police said Mitchell, a lab animal services technician, was intoxicated, seated in a chair with his pants around his ankles.
Fuck me in the asshole!
Oh my god. I really hope that wasn't happening. He was booked into the Richmond County Jail Monday on charges of public intoxication. We'll have to see how this story ends up. I'll continue following it. Just to hear all the
freak. Yeah, the please give us an update details. Later.
This is not a good look for me!
No. Right, a Stone Mountain, Nebraska man and woman are... Wait, a Stone Mountain... Oh, okay, this is all messed up. Let me reformat this. Okay, loading it. A Stone Mountain woman and a South Carolina man are facing drug charges as a result of a traffic stop. They decided to store a massive load of pot in a PlayStation 3 box. According to the officer, he immediately noticed a strong odor of marijuana upon approaching the vehicle. He said he could smell an overwhelming odor of air freshener also. I noticed there were two clip-on air fresheners stuck inside the air vents. And it stood out to me because this was a rental car, and the average motoring public does not add air fresheners to a rental car.
Marijuana!
The driver, Tequila Harris, of Stone Mountain, Georgia, said she and her passenger initially identified... as Justin Latimer were on their way to Latimer's home in South Carolina. When asked about the odor of marijuana in the vehicle, Harris said she didn't smoke, but some people who'd used the car earlier in the day possibly had.
What is he, putz?
The officer decided to call for backup and search the vehicle. During the search, they found a United States Postal Service box in the trunk. And she said it was a box for her aunt who lives in South Carolina. Explained that her aunt had the box shipped to Harris in Stone Mountain. Oh, so now she's trying to lay it on the aunt. Nice.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
Yeah, upon opening the UPS box, a PlayStation 3 box was found. Officer noted it was far too light to actually contain a PlayStation 3.
Giant enemy crab.
Well, it did contain three, but it was 3 pounds of marijuana. The officer also found a business card for an indoor hydroponic company that sells supplies commonly used to grow marijuana. Oh, okay.
Ridge Racer!
Yeah. Sometimes if you're transporting marijuana, maybe you should try to be as, indescript as possible. Maybe not speed.
Right. Drive the speed limit.
Like I was today and I ended up getting a ticket.
Oh, yeah, I saw you posted that. That sucks.
I was pissed. I zoned out and my foot was a little too heavy on the gas and saw a cop at like, he tagged me with a laser from probably like 2,000 feet away. Holy shit, I knew I was screwed. Because I was like the only car. It was like 8 in the morning. Yeah, I was the only car in the fast lane. I just,
You're like, damn it!
Like yep, there's my street. $130 tax for the day.
When life gives you lemons, just take the lemons and bail.
Yeah, I should have. I said, fuck your lemons, pig!
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Yes,
all the time.
Go on then, you pompous.
Hey, Gordon, just a little kid.
I am not pathetic.
Okay, and you, according to a Ukrainian newspaper, the Ukrainskaya Pravda.
Excuse me.
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants is a homosexual. And I believe his Patrick Starfish is now named Ari.
What a ass.
The commission has been... there was actually a commission.
No.
In the Ukraine that has been studying the most popular animated series, some of the most popular animated series on Ukrainian television, and is set to propose a countrywide ban on some of them, claiming they present a real threat to children.
I'm a goofy goober, yeah!
The Simpsons, Family Guy, Pokemon, Teletubbies, and Futuramas are projects aimed at the destruction of the family and promotion of drugs and other vices. Japanese anime series, also, they don't say what it is, but they say it's a clear example of sexist propaganda.
What?
This is inappropriate.
You're right.
The report goes on to say that the Teletubbies deliberately aim to create subnormal men who spend all day in front of the television with their mouths open, swallowing all types of information.
They're totally dating themselves.
Yes. A behavior which claims complies with the psychology of losers.
You shit at all! I hate you! I hate you!
Wow.
So, anybody that grew up on Teletubbies... You're a loser.
Teletubbies, Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Mama, Pooh.
Laughing Baby in the Sun.
I love the Teletubbies. They're awesome.
Cool. Okay. All right. No, seriously. I think I'm done.
I thought I was hallucinating.
Like, dude, what happened? Someone slipped me a Mickey.
I drop acid?
No, I was real drunk, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and they're it was on the TV.
Steven, wake up! Wake up, Steven!
Just say my name. All right, Phoenix, Arizona.
Tubby Custard.
An 82-year-old man was arrested for allegedly exposing himself to a 14-year-old girl at the Salt River. Yeah, that's just not right.
Why? What? Come on.
A shit eater?
Like, the 82-year-old guy is, like, he has a chance. Like, hey, check this out, hot stuff.
Now, back off and let me pee.
What is it with, like, I know they've got wiring loose, but they think, like, hey, my dick, check it out. Like,
yeah.
No one wants to see it, dude.
Yeah, you're 82 years old.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
No one wants to see your saggy balls. Maritima County Sheriff's Deputy was recalled to the Fawn D. Sutton Campground Monday after the teen told her mother that an old man wearing a G-string bathing suit exposed himself. A G-string?
Shriveled floppy penis.
Excuse me while I go puke.
The best thing to do, I think, is just to point and go, and laugh. Like, humiliate him.
With it wagging like this.
Oh, God. Oh, and, you know, since I was going to end it at that, but...
Wanted
to hear me do an item on the Pussy Riot. They're a female punk band in Russia who was actually arrested for hooliganism. And now they're facing, like, I think they said up to 7 years in jail because they did a performance of a song, like, basically called... Vladimir Putin a pussy.
Scaredy cat.
But yeah,
they did
so
it in a church.
Don't insult. Yeah, in a church. Just happened to be in a church. You know,
nothing happened.
And I think I saw the performance. Like, they're wearing bags on their head and shit. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, they're trying to make a political statement, but it's tacky. But you know, they're an all female Russian punk band named Pussy Riot.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Yeah, apparently you can. It's a real riot.
A lot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
Oh. Okay, and that's news for this week.
Yo, pussy.
Pussy.
Pussy riot.
All right, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do them.
Do you want to do some DVDs, Bill?
Yeah, let's do them.
No, I'll pass.
Hey, let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
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 HD Blu-ray standard definition!
A loose one.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, we're going to quickly head back a week or two and cover some DVDs and Blu-rays that came out that we missed, we didn't have a chance to talk about. Starting with, I'm not going to do alphabetical because it's a pain in the ass. Dr. Seuss's The Lorax on Blu-ray 3D.
Oh, nice.
Didn't see it, but I will rent it.
I bet it's gorgeous. It was gorgeous in the theater.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know the Lorax is the one all about, you know, not treating the Earth like shit.
Right.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
All right, next we have Clue the movie on Blu-ray, because everyone needs Clue the movie on Blu-ray.
I remember watching this on cable. I remember when it was in theaters, they actually had, like, Theater A, Theater B, and C, where you could see the different endings, but...
The different endings.
We saw it on cable, where they just showed the endings.
They show every ending at the end of that version.
I remember us watching it over and over again, but I don't remember if I liked it or not. It's been that long.
No, it's not good. It's not a good movie. It's got some great character actors.
I think I'm done. Ooh, I think we're done. I think that's good.
But it's just not a good movie at all. I'd rather sit down with friends and actually play Clue than watch Clue.
That's true.
And also, they released a couple classics. We have the 15th, I can't believe it's been 15 years, of Gross Point Blank, the John Cusack Mini Driver.
How many years?
15.
Holy shit, I feel old.
I know. Well, you want to feel really old. Other than that, we have the 25th anniversary edition of Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, my God.
That is disgusting.
I love that movie. That's amazing.
And the fact that I saw on Facebook that Sean bought it on Blu-ray, and he had never seen it before. And I was like, I have such a hard time wrapping my mind around that. But
I know, but it's cool that the first time he saw it was on Blu-ray. The first time I saw it was on VHS.
Yeah, same here.
On a tiny TV screen.
I can't even tell you how in love with Elizabeth Shue I was.
Oh, yeah.
Opening where she's singing the song and all. I was just like,
I dreamt about her so much.
Have you ever had a dream?
No!
With Elizabeth Shue, yes, I've had that dream.
Shut up!
I remember years later, she did this horrible movie. I mean, absolutely atrocious kind of apocalyptic movie with Kyle MacLachlan called The Trigger Effect.
Oh, my God. I've seen it.
And she is wearing this sheer bra, and she pulls her boobie out. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, God,
and
I don't remember that.
She did,
I remember the movie's horrible.
It's so bad. It goes absolutely nowhere.
Oh,
and
it
then
does.
She did the Leaving Las Vegas.
It's got this interesting premise, and then the movie sucks ass.
Yeah, it goes nowhere. It's terrible.
Okay, you know what? I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
I remember Heather being so pissed off at it, like, why did we watch that? And I'm like, I don't know. It sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It looks mantastic.
And also, you know, I've been wanting Spaceballs on Blu-ray for the longest time, and finally I have it. The Schwartz is with me.
There goes the neighborhood. There goes the universe.
Wait, what is that?
Spaceballs. There goes the what? What does he say? There goes the planet?
Yes, I can't remember.
Shit, I guess I'll have to see it on Blu-ray.
Surrounded by assholes.
Not bitter.
I am bitter.
Not a great movie, but it still has some really classic moments.
Yeah, it's not the strongest Mel Brooks. In fact, it's really bad. A lot of the jokes fall really flat.
Speed.
It's just like, I know, we'll just reference a lot of sci-fi things, but it's not the same. Like, when you watch Blazing Saddles, that's like, that shit was like on the money, you know?
Yeah, the best stuff in Spaceballs isn't the sci-fi references. It's like the Mel Brooks moments, like where they're kind of making fun of sci-fi. The moment like where they have the Mr. Coffee, and then the TV screen where they can see what's going on, like they can watch the movie at the same time it's happening, right, and all that. Those are the moments that always made me laugh. And of course, you know, the assholes. But that was, you know, it's not a great movie, but it's still worth it.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
Yeah. The fact that they released a 15th anniversary edition of Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion is just sad.
Awesome.
I can't believe that that's like a cult film that people actually enjoy that piece of shit.
I think I liked it.
Really?
Have you seen it?
I remember it.
I enjoyed it enough. I didn't hate it or anything.
It's painful for me.
Oh, just... Kelly Clarkson!
Like, I have a really hard time with...
Komoshiyama!
With dumb characters.
Like... Mm-hmm.
Played for humor, because it irritates me.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of annoying. I think Mira Sorvino's friggin' smoking hot in it, though.
Absolutely.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
Why?
This one's your nephew Severin, the Boogans on Blu-ray.
The Boogans.
Yeah, he wanted that on a copy of that I have on DVD,
God,
and I never sent it to him. He said it was one of the films he didn't own that he always wanted.
Boo.
A decent version of it out there, except there was an airing of it on like some obscure
He's
channel.
On that kick, isn't he? He likes those bad VHS horror movies.
Yeah, he loves them.
Like Chud.
Like we had a whole discussion on Facebook one night about the merits of the original Blob versus the remake.
Humanoids from the Deep.
Like an hour and a half where we just talked about
First of all, the original doesn't have Kevin Dillon as the star, so screw it! Wait, Kevin Dillon, Steve McQueen, which is better?
A lot.
Yeah. All right, Full Metal Jacket, 25th anniversary edition.
I am in a world of shit. Best line ever.
That is one depressing fucking movie.
Wow-wee!
Yeah, it really is. It's very watchable. That's one of those quotable as hell movies, you know?
It's also one of those movies that does such a tonal shift, like from boot camp to Vietnam.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's like it feels like two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really strange. I mean, it's not my favorite Kubrick film. But,
me so horny, me love you long time.
It's just a bizarre movie,
so many
but man, it's so watchable. It's one of Stanley Kubrick's most watchable movies, I think.
Yeah, but it's also, it's easily up there with one of his most disturbing.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
You go from, from the craziness of the boot camp to the absolute insanity of Vietnam. It just,
Do you remember that weird scene where they're riding on the helicopter, Joker and the other guy, and the other guy's like puking, he's sick to his stomach, and the other guy's just shooting the machine gun and they're trying to talk to him the whole time, and then they show he's just gunning down people in a rice field, just like innocent people. He's just, there's just like scenes like that. It's like, what the hell?
How do you know they're enemies? They're enemies if they run.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, just a disturbing movie.
And this shocked me. You told me about this on chat one day on MSN. You were like, hey, did you see The Incredible Mr. Limpet is on Blu-ray? And I was just like, no freaking way. I love these Disney Don Knotts films.
As a kid, I loved The Incredible Mr. Limpet so much, and I don't know why. I need to watch it again, because I don't remember why I liked it so much.
Yeah, I'm totally blanking on everything about the movie, but I just remember loving Don Knotts. Was this a Warner Brothers film, or was this a Disney film?
I'm not sure.
Because, you know, he did a series of the Disney films, like the Apple Dumpling Gang and
Gold. Being that it probably had animation in it, it may have been a Disney.
You know what? I think this is actually, it's a non-Disney film. Yeah, it's Warner Brothers. Huh. Wow. Wonder how they pulled that off. This up. You know what I really hate? I really, really, really hate buying Blu-rays retail because they never have the ones I want.
I'm a man, not a fish.
I have gone to three different Best Buys, one in Pennsylvania when I was just back home, and two here in Ohio, one in Columbus and one just up the road from me, and none of them have that mind-bending edition of Total Recall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all the first version that came out. In fact, after I saw the remake, I picked up Total Recall on Blu-ray thinking I got the mind-bending edition, but it's the original that came out on Blu-ray. And no one carries the mind-bending edition. Then I went looking for Jaws and a couple other Blu-rays that had come out, and I just barely found Jaws. It was like, it's so disappointing. It's so much easier to get what you want on, like, Amazon.
Yeah. Did you pick up Jaws, Steven?
I did pick up Jaws.
Oh, you did find it? Or did you have to order it?
It was behind Lockout.
No, I gotta own it. Yet. I'm surprised you haven't got it. It's got this awesome documentary on there.
I will own it.
The Shark is still working.
The Shark, is that the Shark still working or something?
Yeah. That's like the Cake Boss's fake Jaws music.
I was like, is that Jaws?
It's like, it's kind of off. It's not quite Jaws.
It's quite Jaws. It sounds Jaws-y.
Retarded Jaws.
Boom, bum, bum. We can't get sued.
All right, continuing on. The new Benji film.
Benji? Are you shitting me?
Benji Off the Leash, direct the Blu-ray.
My dog barks some.
So, just...
Okay.
That's just my favorite line.
Bit. Just a little bit. Benji!
It just went to primal.
How do I get Baby to make that sound? Just have to make her go feral.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny when she has one of those, like, jumbones, she'll growl at you if you get near her because she thinks you're going to take it away. So
you've got to fix that behavior.
But what's funny,
not a good thing.
But when you go up behind her, it's so funny. If you touch her back, she goes, and you take your hand off, then you put it back on, it's like, so you just keep touching her over and over again. Because
you got to stop her doing that. That's not good.
There's nothing. I mean, it's just. It's funny because she's not threatening at all, you know?
I know, but still, it's... That's dangerous. It's like one time that if you get your hand near her food or something, she might actually snap at you.
Right. She hasn't done... She doesn't quite do that. She's not, like, aggressive.
But she's still really young.
Yeah, she does, like, the fake kind of, like, growl, you know?
She's such a goofy puppy. Like, I love those side videos.
Oh, yeah, that I put something.
She's just smart enough to, like, try to take advantage of you. Right. And it's, like, it's so hard to get one up on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first video, you're putting it up there at the top, and she's like, I know that you're going to put it up there, but I'm not going down the slide.
Yeah. I could easily get rid of her, though. I could easily go just throw her over the fence and let the neighbor deal with her. Is that bad?
The novelty has worn off.
You know, because, you know, Heather and Emma just love her so much. I go, you know what? She could go tomorrow and I wouldn't care. And they're like, you bastard!
You guys have to spend the day with her. See how much you love her.
Yeah, it's like, I'm with her all the time. I'm going to open the front door and just let her wander out.
Leave her.
It's like, I'm not really a pet person. Just, you know, bye,
some
dog.
Some people are like that. Like, I'm not really a pet person, but I do get kind of... Like, I'm absolutely obsessed with my sister's dog, Marvin, who I'm taking care of, because he's just such a sweetheart. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't bark at all. You could get him so wound up, he won't bark. He kind of squeaks. And he's massive. He's half Dane, half Lab. So he's got just this gigantic Dane's head on this Lab body. And right. He just doesn't... He's just the sweetest thing in the world. All he wants to do is sleep and eat.
Yeah, she's a sweet dog. She's just a pain in the ass also.
Yeah, well, she's young and she's a beagle. So it's notorious. Continuing on with Blu-rays that came out in the past weeks, Jaws, which we mentioned.
Yes, love Jaws.
And it's I haven't gotten a look at it yet, but I'm really excited to. This next film got huge, huge buzz in like the festival circuit, and everyone was talking about how awesome the action is in it. And it's called The Raid, and for some reason, for the American release, they titled it The Raid Redemption. So I guess there's supposed to be multiple films in the series.
Ah. But
it's a film. Let's see here. It's directed by an English-speaking person. I think even an English guy, Gareth Evans. But it's in an Asian country.
That looks cool, but I'm wondering if like it'll stand up to old John Woo, like old school John Woo, like The Killer or Hard Boiled or something.
No, you won't know until you watch it.
That's right.
Moving on, we have the Royal Tenenbaums on Blu-ray.
Oh yes, Royal Tenenbaums.
Always love the Criterion Collection discs because they have that awesome artwork.
Right. Yeah, I love that there's a... I have the DVD, not the Blu-ray, of Rushmore with all that artwork on it. It's really cool.
The most important, I think, is Death Wish 3. That's on Blu-ray, along with Death Wish 2 and Death Wish 4.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the Death Wishes, but man... I think... Was Death Wish 4 the one that took place in the mannequin factory?
Holy crap.
Do you remember that one? Like the final fight took place in a mannequin factory. Maybe that was 5.
They made way too many of those.
Yeah, they got really bad.
The Giggler, man.
They killed the Giggler.
You should have stopped at 3.
They had no business doing that.
They had no business making those, Bill.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was the last one. It was Death Wish: The Face of Death, the fifth and final one.
And it was talking about Charles Bronson.
Where, yeah, he looks like death in that one. And, yeah. And the bad guy was Michael Parks. That's right.
Yeah, I always liked the Simpsons when they were making fun of movies. It's Death Wish 10.
Yeah.
So Charles Bronson, he's laying in bed. I wish I was dead.
That is
disgusting. Yeah, I wish I was dead. He's done it so many times. He wants to die.
All right.
A.K.A.
I have to bring this one up because it's just a really crazy-ass horror film called Kill List.
Disrespectful, it's about a guy, disgusting man!
Who has a bad hit job, and he's a contract killer, pressured into taking a new assignment, but it's just this really crazy... shit that happens. I can't recommend it enough if you like crazy psychological horror films.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
No, you won't.
Cool.
We're going to move on to this week. We have The Aristocrats on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, The Aristocats. I love that.
I'm sorry, yes. Not the joke, The Aristocrats, but the cats, yeah. I don't even remember the Aristocats.
Holy crap, I was making a joke.
Seen it.
So it is Aristocats? I was making a joke.
Yeah, it's the Aristocats.
It's been attacked by cats.
Yeah, the Disney film.
Oh.
It's one of the Disney films I've never seen.
It's like herding cats.
It's like it was part of the 70s series of Disney films that were terrible that no one really bothered with. Yeah. Next Wow-wee. Is the Richard Linklater film Bernie.
Huh?
Yes, with Matthew McConaughey, Jack Black.
Zing!
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, there was a terrible trailer for it. It honestly looked like this just bad independent film with a really...
This is inappropriate.
You're right.
But I hadn't heard anything about it since then, so it must have came and went.
I don't know if any though.
But it's Jack Black playing different from Jack Black. He's not Jack Black in it. He's Bernie.
Oh.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
Next, we have The Dictator, the banned and unrated version. The, what the hell is that guy's name?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Dick.
I saw about, I would say about a little more than an hour of it in the theater, and it's just not funny.
I didn't think it was a whale's dick, honey.
No, it wasn't a whale's dick. Chimpanzee on Blu-ray, the Disney nature film about the little Oscar chimpanzee.
That whole trailer breaks my heart. The cute little chimpanzee
really
guy.
Really tough whenever he rips that woman's face off.
That part's awesome. Paul Verhoeven directed that scene. Here's a clip of it.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
it can speak.
Yeah, it says Kelly Clarkson.
Wow. No, Kelly Clarkson.
He's like Caesar.
Yeah, totally. That's the part where the whole everybody goes because he can talk.
He can talk.
And it's like,
¿cómo se llama?
You just said Oscar is home.
That's right. Oh my God!
That ape is, you know, he's going to be the downfall of all humans.
Oh, you fucker!
All right, so we have Good Will Hunting, the 15th anniversary edition. How do you like them apples?
Fuck me in the apple!
I love Good Will Hunting.
Yeah,
Steven.
Yes,
it's not your fault.
What?
It's not your fault.
Don't do this to me.
Oh my God.
And scene.
was Ben Affleck some Chucky in that?
Yeah, Chucky. Yeah.
Chucky. Halloween 4 and 5 on Blu-ray, because that was needed.
Gold.
Lady and the Tramp 2. Scamp's Adventure on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
I love these directed.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
Yeah. Pocahontas.
Yes, we got that. Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll pass on.
Oh, wait, hold on a second, Bill. What's that? You want to be on the show? Mm-hmm. Okay, but just for a few minutes, because there's some bad language later on.
Okay.
Foggy, no more 40-year-old virgin, okay? Hey, everybody, look, it's Emma!
Hi!
Hi, wait.
Hi, Emma.
Look, Emma, it's Emma. Oh, wait, this is audio.
Look, Emma, it's Emma.
Emma, have you ever had a dream? I just want to... This kid wants to ask you a question, okay? Okay, listen to this. A very important question. Okay. Listen closely.
Have you ever had a dream that you had you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
No.
Hey, that was a good answer.
I like that you had to think about it.
The answer is no. Okay.
Excuse me.
Oh. All right, Bill. What other DVDs do we have?
All right. We have the Rescuers combo on DVD and Blu-ray. I guess there was two Rescuers films?
Yeah, the Rescuers and the Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, they went to Australia.
Yeah, where Rick lives.
Oh.
And you know what? The Rescuers Down Under, I've actually seen that. And it's got a cool flying sequence at the beginning that's really awesome. And I remember when I was younger when I saw it, I think I was like in 19 or something. I don't know.
Cool.
But anyway, I was like, man, the animation in this part is really awesome.
Animation.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, dude. You know what I'm saying,
I just remember the original Rescuers had some questionable things in the backgrounds.
Like what?
The animators snuck, like, frames of certain things into things in the background.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like...
This is inappropriate.
You're right. Yeah, inappropriate things.
Yes.
Yeah, I call it my fruit.
That
next film is a an Iranian film that I heard Emma was really interested in seeing, called A Separation.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah, it actually won an Academy Award about the dissolution of a marriage.
Wow.
Oh, I thought it was about a guy's shoulder.
Yeah, what? It's about putting it back in the socket.
I'm a firm believer in the separation of church and crime.
Oh.
I'm a freak.
Do you believe in the separation of church and crime, Emma?
No. Well, no. Yes.
Zing!
Yes. Zing! Bot.
Emma, do you love Zing Bot?
It's funny.
Zing!
Emma loves him.
Okay, the next Blu-ray we have is a Tiger... Or the Tiger movie.
Tiger?
Tiger.
Tiger?
As in a Tiger is... What the heck is that song?
Is it like Tigger?
Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
It's Tigger.
Tigger. Tiger, Tigger. You say tomato, I say tomato.
A lot.
What?
I have always called him Tiger. Always.
No, Foggy. He almost played an inappropriate drop.
Inappropriate!
No, yes. No, I'll pass.
What?
Yes, the Tigger movie, I love that. Love that guy.
I've never seen this. I've only seen the original Winnie the Pooh movies and the most recent Winnie the Pooh movie, but I've never seen the Tigger movie.
Or the Tigger movie.
It's the Tigger. I just it's so ingrained in me that it's Tigger that I can't say Tigger.
It's Tigger.
I know it is, but it's to me it's Tigger. Alright, next Blu-ray is War Games.
We have got a much bigger problem than what you're talking about.
No, I love War Games.
Yeah,
oh, and it's on Blu-ray?
I'm totally buying this. Yeah.
Wait, War Games is on Blu-ray?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dude, that is sweet.
What is
I
War
just have the...
Mr. Potato Head?
Mr. Potato Head? I have the 25th anniversary DVD, but I don't have the Blu-ray, so I'm really excited about Blu-ray. Yay!
Shall we play a game?
Such an awesome movie.
Steven? He's getting the dog all riled up, and she just ran by the wires.
It's okay, that was the last Blu-ray.
Wow.
Steven? Mr. Potato Head! Mr. Potato Head! That's my favorite ever line from War Games, Bill.
Mr. Potato Head!
Alright, Emma has lost it! Emma, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to ask Steven back to keep him out of trouble.
Okay.
Steven, stop letting the dog lick your face and come back. Emma, love you. Bye, Emma.
Bye.
Woo.
And voila, just like that, it's a hit.
Steven, hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's good.
Mr. Potato Head.
Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head.
All right. Bill, I've lost control of the show.
Yeah, it's wheels off.
It's filthy.
Yeah, it is. Oh, baby sneezing. Listen, she's sneezing like a human being. All right, Bill. The last DVD was War Games, right?
Yes, it was.
All right, Emma. Psst. Zip it. Psst.
Psst. Sorry.
All right, Bill, was that the final DVD?
Yeah, it was the final one.
Thank you, Bill, for doing the DVDs this week.
Okay, you know what? You know, I got a weak stomach. That's all I can really take.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
PG-13 is for pussy.
Great song.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
I love Jet Li in that song.
The Expendables.
Expendables. Love it.
I was blown away. Blown away.
Well, thank you. All right, everyone. That was episode 261 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for still listening after all this time. If you'd like, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum where we have many members who comment every day on all sorts of things, Bill.
We do.
You could also...
Day. It's nonstop. I can't keep up.
You can also follow the link to the Nowhere in Mulberry fan club on Facebook. That's a really hoppin' place where you'll find us. Also, go to send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail at 1206-202-1298. It'd be awesome. You could also follow all of us on the Twitter, because we're on the Twitter. And it's a lot of fun.
Little dirty secret.
Tweet
our little
twaddle all the time.
Yes, I'm always tweedling my thumbs.
Why not spread the wealth?
Exactly. That's what I'm always saying to Steven. If he could get rid of his Catwoman collection.
I got to keep it hidden.
So ashamed.
Steven,
I
don't know why.
Me. It's just for me.
Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head.
Why does he say that at that part of the movie? It's just
because
weird.
Because he's mean.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
Neither did I. But so I want to go see Paranorman, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to see that? Heard's
looks,
not even good.
It looks awful.
No, I'll pass.
No offense to that guy,
but
you
enjoy
just,
it.
You caught me at the wrong time of day.
It was the final comment. The wow, it looks really awful, but you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people go. It's kind of like when people
so
do the when people do the backhanded. Yeah, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
It's like you take that prayer and shove up your ass.
Much like that sweetie pie.
All right, good times. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on the Nowhere Mulberry Adventure Hour and Dog Show. Say bye, baby.
Bye, baby.
All right, bye, Bill. Bye, Steven.
Bye.
Okay. All right. No, seriously, I think I'm done. Ooh, I think we're done. I think that's good. ¿Cómo se llama?
No.
Fuck me in the ass.
Podcasting.
When life gives you lemons, just say the lemons and bail.